Oh, Lordy. What a Super Bowl. Damn. We are live in the DealsInTheD.com studios in the aftermath of maybe the best Super Bowl ever. Certainly the best comeback.
Well, first overtime, right?
First overtime. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. So much to talk about. Oh, my God. I'm trying to think of a Super Bowl where there's more to talk about.
How, after 51 Super Bowls, how can there just be so many first time this, first time that, record this, record that? It's just incredible. You know, they say the NFL had such a tough year, and then they end with a game like that.
You know what I can't get over about New England is after they won the 3 out of 4.
Yeah.
3 in 4 years, right? Because they won Brady's first and second the 2 years. Yeah, then they had missed a year, and then they won another one. Then they had the 3 years, I believe, or 2 years without making the Super Bowl. Then they lost the Super Bowl to the Giants. And then I think they had a couple more years outside the Super Bowl. And you think, oh, it's got to be over. You know, Brady's 34, 35. But they just keep finding new guys.
And honestly, do you bet against him next year? No.
Not really.
Not at all.
Not if Brady's back.
And he will be.
I think he is. So, wow. Lots to talk about. Not just Super Bowl. Some other things, too. Tom Mazzoway had a television appearance this morning.
Oh, that's right.
On the Sports Cave on Channel 7. And something absolutely incredible happened at the six-minute mark. I never thought he could do it, but he did it. Stand by. Meanwhile, speaking of DealsInTheD.com, our studio sponsor, if you're looking for the best deal on your new ride, check out our friends at Zott Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram and DealsInTheD.com. DealsInTheD.com is where you'll find thousands of vehicles listed with the very best prices in the D. People are taking advantage of it already. Got an email from a guy who was looking at used cars over there, I think Thursday
really?
Or Friday. Yeah,
nice.
Yeah, they're getting busy both locations. During their auto show event, no, this is the wrong copy. What are you doing, Drew? during truck month, you can lease a new Ram 1500 Crew Cab 4x4 for $169 a month.
No way.
Yes, $169 a month. Or if trucks are not your thing, you can lease a loaded Jeep Compass for $109 a month. So when you're ready for your new ride, check out our friends at DealsInTheD.com. Tell them you heard about it here. And you appreciate their support, because you do. Get there! Then there's our friends at the offices of Dr. Gregory Roche, who want to know, what are you waiting for? That's the question they get asked the most, so stop putting it off. If you're thinking about it, go ahead, do it. Have a consult. Dr. Roche can give you the look you've always wanted, whether it's breast augmentation, Brazilian butt lifts. Boy, they do a lot of that stuff. Diva laser. I would have never dreamed it. Diva laser liposuction, facial surgery, you want a nose job, Botox. You're in good hands with Dr. Roche, the only double board certified cosmetic surgeon in Michigan. Experience matters. He's got 30 years of it doing the latest surgical and non-surgical procedures over in Bloomfield Hills. Call and ask about breast augmentation. Specializing in more natural-looking breasts, they've got the pictures to prove it. He has performed the most breast augmentations in the Midwest. He knows what he's doing. 248-338-1110. See how easy it is to bring out your very best features. 248-338-1110 or visit droche.com. Hey, if you're a guy, there's some nice pictures on there. That's what I'm saying. Oh, boy. This football game seemed like such a bummer. And I wasn't even rooting for New England. But when they got down 28-3, I was praying for them. I wanted a good game. I hate it when the Super Bowl is bad. It's such a crummy way to end the year.
Yeah. Got into a text argument with Maz about it.
Oh, boy.
Well, he just wrote, hey, you guys enjoying the game? This is when it was 14-0. And I said, well, honestly, it's been kind of a lousy game. There's been a lot of punts, a lot of penalties. It's just, you know, it hasn't hasn't been the best game. And he just wrote, I'm loving it. Because he hates New England and Tom Brady that much.
Oh, he's got to be so pissed.
Well, and then he disappeared in the second half. I didn't hear any text from him.
Speaking of your boyfriend.
Oh, man, look how handsome he is.
That's awesome.
We were laughing about how when he took off his pads, he had a Make America Great Again shirt on. Or instead of putting on the Super Bowl hat, he put on that big red hat that he had in his locker.
Rips off his jersey. Build the wall! Fuck immigration! That would be hilarious.
We get the turnover. There was a lot of shit that happened tonight, so.
What? What?
And I got hit pretty hard, so. It's just.
Have you ever heard him swear on the?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Oh really?
You know, he did a thing with Conan, and then Clueless Gamer, and he swore a few times during that. Just shit. Yeah. So,
another play coming down to the end. How about that?
This is their largest margin of victory in a Super Bowl, and it was in an overtime game.
You know, I was looking at the numbers before the game, and I'm thinking, New England's never been in a blowout on either end in six Super Bowls, make it seven now, which is really pretty rare. Yeah.
I mean, the franchise has. I mean, don't forget the 85 Bear
Bowl. Oh, well, that's true.
But since you mean Belichick. Brady, for sure. Yeah, era.
They were down 21-3, and I thought that drive at the end of the half was so big because here they have that goofy drive where they have the three pass interference calls, three gifts like that.
That's when I was saying it was bad football.
Oh, it was awful. Brutal game to watch.
Yeah.
And then he gets pick sixed on that drive.
Yeah.
But they get the ball right back, and this is when Atlanta's defense was on the field an awful lot, and I think it mattered at the end of that game. I really do. It shouldn't have, but it did. And they go down there. They get right back down there, and Bennett holds on that screen pass with 18 seconds left. I think it got down to, 18 seconds after that play. It was a brutal hold. It was clearly obvious. Really fucked them up. Put them back at the 20.
They would have been on, what, the 3?
Yeah, they've been on the 3-yard line with 18 seconds. Instead, they're on the 20-yard line, and he threw that screen to Bennett, which was so weird.
Play.
Yeah, it was a terrible call, and they have to settle for that field goal. And you figure that with a long halftime ahead of them, and Atlanta gets the kickoff.
Yeah, they went in. New England went in at the half with a timeout. Didn't use the timeout at all.
No, nope.
And there was ample time to use
it. They kicked
it
on second down.
Yeah. Yeah, so they could have used it.
So then they come out, and they hold Atlanta. They get that nice punt return by Edelman. And that drive was killed by what I would call, calling it two-drop passes is being a little harsh because the Hogan one.
It was a tough catch.
It was a tough catch, but it bounced off his hands.
Yeah, the Edelman was a flat drop.
And it would have been a first down.
And what's interesting is, and I wonder how many people will talk about this, in the first half, Brady was pretty awful, and I thought he was terribly inaccurate.
He was. For him, he was really off.
Yeah, just not leading receivers, just a couple floaters. It was really, really weird.
Hey, you wonder who he's throwing to a couple times.
Yeah.
For him, it was really a grim performance. Third quarter wasn't a whole lot better.
It was the last, 19 minutes, really?
Yeah. No, he came on late in the third quarter. They got that score, and then they missed the extra point. And you know, and meanwhile,
which was predicted, by the way.
Yes, that was a good call.
It's just the way that game was going.
Atlanta had scored another touchdown after the drop passes drive to make it 28-3. They get the 6 with the touchdown and the no EP, and then it just seems like I don't know. They did they kick onside after that? They did, didn't they?
Yeah, after they blew the extra point. Yeah, the onside.
Yeah,
kick.
So it was two bonehead plays by Gostkowski right back to back.
He ran into his own
idiot
kick.
Misses the extra point and then lets the onside kick hit him in the foot. Nope.
Then,
honestly, think about it. Gostkowski, what the fuck did he do in this game?
Yeah, not much.
Because that was his last kick attempt was the onside. Well, no, they kicked off after the one.
We had EPs. But
no, because they had to go for two.
Oh, that's right. That's right. He didn't have to kick one after. Wait, did they kick to make it 35-20? Or is the final score 34-28?
No, they didn't kick. It was 34-28 because it was game over on the touchdown. So the missed extra point was his last field goal slash extra point attempt.
Oh.
He had the onside attempt. He did have to kick off after the first two-point conversion. And that was like his night.
Yeah, boy.
Boy, he must be the happiest guy on that team.
Yeah, that's always tough. You know, I remember, you know, going 0-5 or 0-4, you know, and you win. It's always hard to feel too good. I mean, you always feel good when you win, but you want to contribute something, for God's sakes. But anyway, you know, even after they get the ball back, it's 28-9, and they have another nice drive down there, but they have first and goal at the 7, and they get sacked twice in 3 plays, and they have to kick that field goal. And you're thinking, oh, God, they got to score here. But the field goal, they were on the 13, I think, 4th and goal. They got to get the 3 to stay within 16 to have a 2-score opportunity there.
Game, yeah.
But then you got to get both 2-point conversions. I mean, it's still
about when you're down that much, it's about possessions.
Yeah. But it's still a hinky, you know, thing to be.
I really felt
16 down.
I really felt New England could score and move the ball. I never thought Atlanta's offense was going to die the way they did.
Well, that's really the amazing thing, because had they just put together a few first downs on some of those possessions, it would have made so much difference in terms of the clock and getting the defense the hell off the field, because that defense just clearly wore down. They played so well for a while.
Do you remember we were watching it and you said, God, every bounce or every kind of 50-50 ball was going Atlanta's way?
It was. It really was.
And that was right, pretty much right before the Allen Branch went to Michigan, right before his fumble recovery.
Oh, God.
What?
I'll have to share the email about comparing Michigan to Scientology.
That's a fact. It's where he went to school. But that fumble recovery was the first time the ball actually bounced their way that I could think of.
Will you just admit one thing?
What?
Anyone who renounces Michigan is a suppressive person.
You are an SP.
Tom Mazzaway is clearly an SP at the moment.
He pretends like he likes Michigan.
Yeah, Branch hit Ryan. That might be the play of the game, honestly. That was such a big play.
Oh, I think there were a couple bigger ones just because they happened later, which you'll get to.
Probably, but do they ever make those plays if Branch doesn't get Ryan to fumble at the 25-yard line?
No, and I know people will say, what's the big deal? It would have been fourth down. They would have punted. Well, it saved them about 35 yards.
Hell yeah, plus the momentum.
Yeah.
And then third down, after a sack, Brady hit Mitchell, who was on the ground and did not get up because he thinks he's in college still.
Yeah. Man. I just thought that could have been a disaster.
Yeah, that was...
set the ball down.
He had space in front of him, too. Yeah. But Brady hit Amendola for the touchdown to make it 28-18. The direct snap to White to make it 28-20.
Which is the same two-point conversion the Patriots ran the last time they won a Super Bowl in Houston in 99 against... wasn't 99. Then they beat... who'd they beat there? Carolina?
It'd be Carolina 32-29.
Yeah, they went for two in that game. With a direct snap.
They fooled me. I did not expect it at all.
No.
No way. I love that little play they ran, by the way, with 3 seconds left in the game. Although, was that guy hurt?
He came back. It was White. He came back.
I thought it was number 33.
Oh, I thought it was White. I don't know.
I think it was number 33. I'm almost positive.
Oh, Lewis? Was it Lewis?
Is that Deion Lewis, 33?
Oh, boy. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it was good that he got hurt, so White could get the ball again.
Yeah, White had a phenomenal game. If it wasn't for Tom Brady having such a remarkable comeback when it mattered, White caught 14 balls in that game.
Which is a record.
Is that a record?
Super Bowl record.
110 yards. I'm kind of surprised. But that's a lot of catches.
That's a ton. He had three touchdowns, too. Two rushing and then...
one receiving.
Of course, the game winning, too.
How many yards rushing did he have? Probably not that many.
He
must have 150 yards in the game. Three touchdowns.
White had six carries for 29 yards and two touchdowns.
Well, 5 yards a carry.
Yeah.
And the touchdowns were short. You got the ball, the 1 yard line, the 2 yard line?
They ran the ball 25 times.
That last touchdown, by the way, he did a nice job to get in the end zone on that play. So anyway, going back to it's 28-20. The kickoff pushes Atlanta all the way to the 10 yard line. It was a stupid return. It looked to me like they had a lot of guys up there for the onside kick. But who cares? Ryan hits Freeman on that short pass. He goes 39 yards. Somebody fell down, was it, on the Patriots?
Yeah, one of the linebackers fell. It was out of position, and then he fell down. So it was just a disaster. I believe that was the longest play of the game.
It was.
Yeah,
at that
39
point,
yards.
At that point it was, unless it was something longer, and I don't think there was.
No, that was the longest play of the game.
Then the incredible catch by Julio Jones.
Oh, man.
Wow. This game has given us some amazing, amazing plays to remember. This is one that will stick with me for a long time.
It's really funny because after that first half, you were saying, God, New England's dropping balls that they could have caught. And we were like, well, that's kind of the difference when you have a Julio Jones versus, say a Hogan or a Malcolm Mitchell. He's a superstar, and he makes catches like that.
And isn't that one of the criminal things about this game is that Julio Jones didn't have the ball in his hands more than four times?
Well, I was just looking when you had me look up the rushing.
Yeah. Right?
So Brady throws 63 times.
Oh, my God.
And they had 25 carries. So that's 88 plays, right?
Jeez.
Matt Ryan only threw 23 times, and they had 18 total carries.
The plays were... 90?
88.
To 88 to?
What, 40, 41?
Oh, my God. That's incredible. How could that defense not wear out? I would have thought the clock would have worn out before their defense, but as it turns out, the defense wore out first.
I'm sorry, 90. Oh, this is including punts. 93 total plays to 46.
Wow. Wow. That's more than double.
There's your game right there, really.
Yeah. So many things. So many interesting things in this game. The Jones pass.
The Julio Jones catch. This next couple plays was the game.
Yep. They were huge plays. They were on the 22-yard line, up 8 points with 4:38 left. How do you lose that game? Well, first of all, they lose a yard on the running play, the first play. The second play, Flower sacks Ryan, a 12-yard loss back to the 35. I thought it actually was further back there, but they spotted it at the 35. Then the holding call, which was blatant. It wasn't a bad call. It wasn't a ticky-tacky thing. And then the most criminal thing, perhaps, was the incomplete pass on third and 33. If they could have just got 12 or 13 yards, which happens so often because
they'll allow you to throw underneath.
Yeah, they'll give you something, but they get nothing, and they have to punt. Edelman makes a bonehead fair catch at the 7-yard line with 3:38 left, but it's now, Tom Brady.
I want to give the Falcons some credit there too, though. On 2nd and 11, they easily could have just ran the ball again.
Yeah, that's true.
They could have safety danced and then just kicked a field.
And I almost expected them to. They probably should have actually.
Well,
it's easy to say. In
you're right. In hindsight, of course, because you don't want to get a sack, you don't want to get a penalty or a turnover, and they got two out of the three in the next two plays. But if they would have just run the ball up the middle three straight times to kick the field goal, they would have eaten so much clock, had New England used all their turnovers, and they're up two possessions again.
Well, you know, when you put it that way, it's kind of hard to.
But that's not what got them there. You got to run the offense that got you there.
Well, and he was. In Ryan's defense, he was 17 for 23. Only 23 passes. He completed 17 of them for 284. He almost threw for 300 yards on 23 passes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's quite a performance. He was very accurate. He was. There were some big sacks, though, including the one by Van Noy.
I know.
Van Noy had a Super Bowl sack.
Super Bowl champion, Kyle Van Noy.
Oh, brother.
He starts the season with the Lions in Super Bowl ring.
So they start in the 7-yard line. Will this equal or surpass the drive, the John Elway 98-yard drive for Denver against Cleveland? It's a bigger game. It's only 5 yards less.
That won the game, though, right? That drive?
Yeah.
This tied the game.
It tied the Super Bowl.
Yeah. That's fair.
I thought it was a pretty amazing drive. They threw two incompletions, Brady did, in the first two plays. The second one, a bomb, which surprised me that he would throw long. In that position, but
duck too.
Yeah, it was a dying quail. It was long. It was a rainmaker, as my little league coach used to call his fungo pop ups. Rainmaker. But on third down, he hits Hogan for 15. Then I think there was one more catch before the Edelman deflection catch, which was the play that we'll see over and over and over, along with the Julio Jones catch. I mean, great concentration. It's a ball many, many guys would have given up on. But he hung on to it, and it got out of his hands briefly for a second, and he still got underneath it just 2 inches from the ground. An amazing, amazing play. And then Brady hit Amendola on that outstretched arms grab, the kind of ball they were dropping all night.
Well, he finally led him perfectly.
Yeah, no, it was a great pass. But there were a number of balls that Brady put, you know, close to guys who were maybe covered a bit tightly, and the ball would just bounce off their hands or, you know, somebody knock it out of their hands. That was a great catch. There was nobody on him, but it still was a nice grab. That got him on the 20. And then from there, I think he had the how'd they score that time? I'm a little lost in my notes here.
That was the pass then. Was that the pass? No, that was.
Oh, Brady hit.
It was the run and then the Amendola 2-point conversion, correct?
With 1:57 left, Brady hit White for 7, then he hit White to the 1-yard line, then White had the 1-yard run to make it 28-26. Then Brady to Amendola with nobody in the backfield. Mm-hmm. Did you see that pass coming, by the way?
Well, what do you mean?
Like, well, he threw it to him right
to Amendola, or?
He threw it to him right behind the line. I mean, just snapped it and chucked it to him on the left side there, and he.
It's a big offside on that penalty, too.
That's
or on
true.
That play.
Yeah, Atlanta really just dissembled at this point. They just completely dissembled.
Is this the biggest choke in sports? Is this bigger than Golden State blowing a 3-1 lead? I mean, I know it's hard. It's not really. It's more apples to oranges.
I think in football, you have to judge a choke by within a game. I mean, I suppose if you're, you know, you're 9-0 and you lose the last seven games, that would be a huge choke. But within a within one game,
yeah,
I think it's the biggest choke
easily
on the biggest stage with a 28-3 lead with what 4.5 minutes left in the third quarter. Well, they scored the. I think when they scored, there were maybe 7 minutes or 8 minutes left in the third quarter, but still, they were up by 28-3. With even after the six and the missed EP, there was they ran out the clock. The quarter ended. And Atlanta had the ball, so they were up 19 entering the fourth quarter with the ball. That's I don't know. I'd like to think of some other ones, but I can't really think of one that comes close. And then you get to overtime. New England wins the toss, and I just thought the game was over right then.
Yeah,
honestly, I just couldn't see. Yeah, they never got the ball. And I couldn't imagine New England doing anything but scoring a touchdown.
I really wish they would fix overtime in the NFL. I just don't like it.
Play that. A whole quarter?
Or at least a half a quarter?
Yeah, I don't like it either.
Play 8 minutes?
First of all, I hate the team winning the toss, just scoring a touchdown and the game being over. I think that sucks.
Yeah, when they, you know, they changed if they kick a field goal and the other team gets a chance, which is just, I don't know, it seems convoluted.
Don't they deserve at least a possession? To tie the game if they score a touchdown?
At least change it for postseason, right?
I think it's reasonable in any game to give the guy that loses the toss. I mean, the toss is so big. I mean, really, if they don't win the toss, maybe they're still playing right now. It's probably Monday morning in most people's lives, but I don't know.
In the last two Super Bowl appearances for Brady in the fourth quarter, 29-36, 320 yards, and three touchdowns.
Whew. How many yards today in the fourth quarter?
You know,
and overtime?
Sure. I'm not sure.
He had, I could not believe going into, let's see, wait, was it going into overtime he had 414 yards or was it going into the final drive? 414.
Well.
He finished, how many finished with 460 something?
Yeah.
Okay, so it was going into overtime.
The most in a Super Bowl. It's still not the most in a postseason game, though.
He had, who has the most in the postseason?
Bernie Kosar, 86, 489.
Sheesh.
466 for Tom.
Did they win the game?
In 86, I would think so, in the divisionals. Because wouldn't that have led to, when was the drive?
The drive was.
When was the fumble?
Oh, boy.
Whatever, who cares?
That would have been, okay, the fumble, I was at WAAF, so that had to be, that had to be 87 or 88, I believe, the fumble. The drive is right around then. But, oh, my God, we can get on to the other stuff here. But first, the I just wanted to say this. With Brady having 416 yards at the end of regulation, and I think he was 38 for 56 at that point, which is about 666, right around there, and 416 yards, he had set the yardage record for the Super Bowl, and I thought he really had a weak game for Tom Brady, except for the fourth quarter.
Well, the last 19 minutes, really, of the game.
Right. But going into OT, he had 416, 38 for 58, which is a good percentage for any quarterback. Yet I thought, if you asked me, if I didn't know any stats, and you said, do you think Brady played well? I'd say, we had a really great fourth. Obviously, it was a great comeback, but I didn't really think Brady had a good game.
No.
He missed a lot of guys. He threw a pick six.
Mm-hmm.
Yet he'd thrown for 416.
Under a lot of pressure.
Yeah, he was.
Especially early.
He threw a few dying quails that guys didn't come down with. But, of course, after overtime, the numbers, there's no way to call that a not very good Tom Brady game. The comeback was certainly outshined the first three quarters. I'm sure he had a lot of balls that I bet he'd like to have back.
The biggest Patriot highlight has to be Roger Goodell handing the trophy to Bob Kraft.
I don't know if I've ever seen someone booed so heartily and lustily
at a sporting event. Gary Bettman's gotten booed a lot when he hands out the trophy, the cup, the Stanley Cup.
That was
brutal,
long. I mean, as long as he was talking, it's really funny, too, when people are trying to be nicey-nice. They're getting the shit booed out of him.
I know. And he's just getting booed. And the second Kraft takes the Lombardi trophy, it's just...
Can we get playback down here? We're having trouble with the system.
I think so.
That was funny and worth replaying.
And, well, it was funny, too, because you could see the guys in the end zone, the fans.
Yeah.
This one guy, which, of course, you can see two guys. They're both recording on their stupid phones. Which,
players were recording with their phones, too.
So Giselle was, Jay just handed me a story. Giselle was filming herself after they won, celebrating.
What? Oh,
I'm sure
God.
She was Snapchatting or something. I don't know.
Who takes a selfie after their spouse does something great?
Who knows?
Here's how I looked when my husband won the MVP. Oh, my God.
But these two guys are in the end zone during Goodell's, you know, getting booed, and you can just see the guy going, boo! So if you watch a video from that guy's phone, it's going to be, you know, 50 yards away from, and it's going to be the back of Roger Goodell, 50 yards away, and all you're going to hear is him going, boo!
Wildly overmodulating, of course.
Yeah, who's going to watch that crap?
Okay, Super Bowl postgame. We got it.
There's the Edelman catch. Well, remember, it went into overtime.
Oh, that's right. It'll probably be the end of this.
Did you add a bunch of time?
I think it adds. I recorded the next thing, which is 24, I think.
Oh, okay.
Oh, we're still in the game here.
Yeah.
Jesus.
I know, that was the other thing I said when we went into overtime. Like, who made enough time to my DVR so I can watch it again like Tom does?
Okay, like we got the celebration, but we're going to have... Maybe is Goodell coming up real quick? Or?
Balls.
And, yeah, it's going to be on. It's going to be on 24. Was it? What was after this?
24. The new version of 24.
Is that? Are people excited about that?
Yeah, I think so. Right? 24 is
a
good show.
It was a good show. Yeah.
And now it's just a reboot.
Who's playing Jack Ryan?
Jack Bauer.
Jack Bauer.
Some black guy. He's a black guy now.
Wait. He changes race?
Well, no, the main character's black. He changes race.
Wait, I was thinking it was Kiefer Sutherland played. What am I confusing
with? He was on 24. It's not the same character. It's not Jack Bauer. I don't think so, at least.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I haven't watched it yet. Get off the TV, Strahan.
Oh, Strahan, that endless walk of stupidity. Oh, here we go. Here we go.
This is the highlight of the game.
Ooh. Fans are happy, cheering wildly. Strahan brings the trophy up to the stage. There's Mr. Goodell. He steps up to the microphone.
What a wonderful football game tonight. That's what NFL football is all about. Robert, you know how hard these are to get. And this is your fifth under your leadership. Coach Belichick and Tom Brady. What an unbelievable achievement for your organization. Congratulations to your organization, to your fans, to your community. We're so proud of you.
No one can hear you, Roger.
Home to New England.
What a gracious man. Kraft grabs the trophy.
Get your APW off this stage. And then Bob Kraft has some
words. Kraft can't let well enough alone.
He talks so weird, Bob Kraft, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Who does he sound like when he talks? Played,
2 years ago, we won our fourth Super Bowl down in Arizona. And yeah. I told our fans that was the sweetest one of all. But a lot has transpired during the last 2 years. And I don't think that needs any explanation. But I want to say to our fans, our brilliant coaching staff,
is he
our
hammered?
Amazing players who are so spectacular.
I've seen him speak hammered after victories for sure.
Sweetest.
Yeah, he's buzzed. Do we really need to bring that up? I mean, was it not?
There's Brady's mom, by the way.
Oh, yeah, wearing the bandana.
Yeah, she's. For those that don't know, Brady's mom is pretty sick. They won't say with what.
I wondered if maybe he reacted so emotionally about his father because he's obviously caring for his mother, who's not doing well. Didn't attend one game this year till the Super Bowl. That certainly says something. I certainly hope she's got a chance.
Does Terry Bradshaw drive you a little nuts?
Always has.
Okay.
Tom Masway seems to think he might be the best quarterback of all time, according to his Sports Cave appearance.
Hey, we got to call Tom before
you can take that down, Jay.
See how Tom's doing.
Yeah, Tom seemed to be, based on his text, he didn't seem very happy. You want to jingle Tom up, Jay?
I wonder if we're going to get the voicemail greeting again.
Oh, hopefully. Well, that would suffice. If Tom doesn't answer, at least we get treated to that.
It's
Kathy's thing, of course.
Our text fight just devolved into me sending Brady memes to him. Because when it went to overtime, I said, now I'll admit this game has gotten good. The first half sucked.
We really didn't even mention the overtime. It seemed so easy. Brady hit Hogan. Brady hit Edelman. Brady hit White for reception number 15.
Almost got picked off, though, in the end zone there after the penalty.
That's right. The pass to Bennett. And the pass to Hogan, too, was kind of a floater, and Hogan came up to get it, but it was a little iffy. He had, I believe, five completions, and then White for the two-yard run, which was impressive. Nice run. And the reception, too, his 14th, I guess that was. I thought he had 14 going into that drive, but he had 13, apparently.
I think I saw, by the way, White's three touchdowns is the most since Terrell Davis had three.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, so it's been a while. He had a great game.
One receiving, two running. And a really nice run of that last one.
What?
What? Tom?
What?
You love the Super Bowl.
That's how you answer the phone? At the Masway residence? I've heard your message. It sounds like it's a happy family over there.
Yeah, put Daddy on the phone.
I'm not happy.
Why? Do you have a lot of money on the game?
No, I actually won a square.
You won a square?
And you're not happy.
Are you giving it to charity?
No, I'm not doing it. Yeah, me. I'm the charity.
What is the charity?
What was the charity, by the way, for the square? Mark, did you buy one? I bought one.
Yeah, I bought one.
Oh no, I didn't win that box. That was for my kid's team. I didn't win that one. Do I want another one?
Was it a bigger one?
Is that charity registered with the IRS? I'm just curious.
Yeah, you could check on it.
Okay.
Was it a big square?
No, it was a crappy $125.
Shit, that's good though. I'd take that.
Yeah, it's something. Yeah, for the rest of my squares.
That's bullshit.
I'm just glad you're trying to gamble your way out of this difficult jobless situation.
No, I'm going to do everything I can, Drew, to get at it.
No, sometimes that's the way to do it. You can double your paycheck, which isn't what it used to be, but still, you can make up for it gambling.
Last year, I hit for a couple of them. I had some good wins last year, but just not enough luck tonight.
Well, it sounds exciting. Why are you so upset?
Because Atlanta gave the game away.
They gave the game away?
Yeah, I mean, the Atlanta coaches gave the game away,
Okay, hadn't really covered that. What do you think was their biggest mistake?
It's a new strong take.
The biggest mistake when it was third and one late in the game, and Matt Ryan drops back, and they sack fumble, on third and one.
On their own 25 or 26, I think?
No, they were at midfield, almost. Third and one, they were driving, and sack fumble. And New England got the ball back. Then they hit that.
Who fumbled?
Was that the Allen Branch?
Matt Ryan fumbled.
That was the Allen Branch recovery, right?
Yeah.
That was on his own 20.
It was in the middle. No, that was in the middle of the field.
No, you're right. You're right. I got that wrong. I'm sorry.
But it was third and one, man, and they were running the ball so well. I mean, what are you doing throwing the ball on third and one?
That's a fair criticism. I'll accept that.
Yeah, that's interesting. I wasn't even thinking about the down. I just was thinking about the great play Branch made.
That was still a great play.
And then
with
3 minutes to go, it's third and 33. I mean, he gets sacked for a 15-yard loss. What the hell are they doing?
Well, now,
we covered that. They should have picked up 12 or 13 yards. That would have been easy, a draw play or just a short pass, and he throws incomplete to somebody who wasn't really open.
Yeah, with someone going out of bounds just to try to pick up 10 yards.
Now let me ask you this, Tom. When it was second and 11 before he got sacked, what did you want them to do there?
Second 11, I still wanted them to run the ball.
They could have eaten up with two runs.
Yeah.
They could have taken
you
the clock
run
down
the ball.
To
you
about.
They have two great running backs.
Yeah,
run the ball.
We were having that conversation as it was going on, and I think Drew and I both thought, no, you go with you. Don't play conservative. Try and score here. Try and score a touchdown.
Oh my God!
Throw.
They took their foot off the pedal. You know, right in the third quarter when they went up 28-3, and you know it's a different game. You know, I give the Patriots credit. They They won the damn game.
Wow.
Do you know what the difference was in number of plays, by the way?
Yeah, double.
93-46.
Yeah, they had no chance left. They had no gas left. Zero.
In retrospect, thinking about that decision, whether to run or pass on second 11 there, with 4:38 left and the clock doing what the clock does, which is 40 seconds plus with every play, they could have had that clock down under 3 minutes and kicked a field goal and been up 10 points.
Correct.
With under 3 minutes. So New England, with as slow as they were scoring, well, up to that point.
New England had their timeouts, though.
Listen, I mean, yeah. I'm telling you, man.
It would have been tough, though.
The Falcons coaching staff was completely out-coached, let's face it. All right? Let's cut to the chase.
I really don't think so.
Remember the call New England made after the hold right before the half? They threw the screen pass to Bennett?
Yeah, that was a bad
call. That was a terrible call.
That was a bad
call. I thought they ran a few times, too, when they were running unsuccessfully, and they really needed to get points fast, and they continued to run. They didn't run the ball that many times. But
when Bennett caught that ball, I was hoping they would push him back in bounds, and he would try to run, and the clock would run out before they get a field goal off.
They had a timeout, though, didn't they?
Yeah, they had a timeout.
But they called it when he didn't go out.
Yeah.
But they called it with 3 seconds left. So if he had bounced up from that tackle, he would have ran the 3 seconds off.
Oh, right. Yes, I saw Bennett talking a little trash after the game, and I know you're a fan of him, Mark.
He always does.
I didn't want to. I was like,
funny dude.
I think the dude ought to pipe down a little bit, considering that stupid hold, the stupid catch. Well, it wasn't his fault, the screen pass, but he dropped the touchdown pass that would have won the game. They called interference on it, but
yeah. He
should have caught that ball.
He did.
He can just pipe down a little bit.
That James White had a hell of a game quietly. 110 yards, a couple touchdowns, and a couple 2-point conversions.
He sure did.
You know who else had a good game was that Tom Brady.
He was all right.
Mark, you want to move on?
He was all right.
You want to get the sports cave up there?
Oh, yeah. That's the real highlight of the day.
It's pretty early on that Maz does something that just blew my mind. I missed the first 5 minutes, but as soon as I popped that thing on,
you mean aside from not just devouring that spread?
Well, that shocked me too, Maz. You admired that spread. They brought out the biggest spread of food. Who's it from? Here's another plug.
Jets Pizza. Yeah.
Jets
Pizza, and there was pizza, and there were wings. What else is out there, Maz? You were just
big antipasto salad, and they had these sandwiches that looked like unbelievable sandwiches.
Is that what you were looking?
Is
that what you most wanted to dive into?
No, those wings look pretty damn good.
Yeah, I couldn't believe you didn't just have something easy to swallow that wouldn't have been embarrassing to eat on TV.
Stoney did.
Brad had some, and Stoney was eating them like they were going out of style.
Bring up some audio here. It's coming up real fast, I think.
How much of that food?
I commented to Stoney. I'm like, you got guts eating that stuff in between commercials. You got like a minute on the commercial.
Heads up. Hold on.
How much food did you take home?
I took home one pizza.
Mark, I thought about that.
Of course you did.
Some people said already this week.
Hold on, Maz. Hold on. I got to get your moment in here. Hang on. It's playing. You can't hear it, though.
I think this is the part you're denying.
Oh, I can't hear it.
I think it's the part you're denying that Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback in Super Bowl history.
Already there.
That is happening, which is ludicrous.
He's already there, and I know he's what I watched. He's there?
Yeah.
Not much debate?
He's
top
three. Yeah.
The number one, though?
I don't know. I think Joe Montana, is still right up there. And I go back to the oldies. I love Roger Staubach. I love Terry Bradshaw.
Roger Staubach.
And people don't mention Bradshaw a lot. But
Terry Bradshaw.
He was three times, man.
I know, but Brady's done it over such a long period of time. And even, you know, the ones he lost, except for one, he played pretty damn good. And it's just, it's everything he does.
Stoney brings some logic to the conversation, but there's something huge coming up.
Either. It's the way he handles everything.
And the longevity, and you look at the roster, and there's nobody that's still there. It's impossible for somebody to be on a roster that successfully, that long, and that he's been there. The Hall of Fame, he'll be there someday, no doubt. And I know Stoney coming in hot this morning about the class last year.
Seriously, how is Terrell Owens not in the Hall of Fame? I'm sorry. Yeah, the guy's
a whack job.
But he was. I'm sorry.
He should be the first guy in the class, in my opinion, Terrell Owens.
Yeah.
But he had the Gale Sayers precedent, I
guess. Where's the LT reference? It's right around here, isn't it?
Should be in the Hall of Fame.
Everywhere he went, he succeeded.
Before Davis and before Jason Taylor, too.
I know. Jason Taylor was a good surprise to me.
He's a very good player.
Is Stoney wearing sunglasses?
T.O. was amazing.
I just think they're tinted prescription.
You have the Hockey Hall of Fame, you have the Baseball Hall of Fame, and the NBA and the Naismith Hall of Fame. And they all have their intricacies. They sneak this class in the night before the Super Bowl every year, and it's almost like they're
nobody knows who votes or how they vote.
It's such a hidden, secretive, confusing process to me. And then you see some of the names of, well, Terrell Davis only played for this amount of time, and the impact he made all of a sudden weighs what Terrell did.
You can't tell me that if T.O. was not like a like Larry Fitzgerald, those type of
first
like
ballot.
Salt of the earth guys,
right.
He'd be first ballot. You can't tell me that.
It used to be they used to do it in the morning of the Super Bowl. Right. Remember that on Saturday morning? Because Mike O'Hara, our good friend, used to be doing it back
name,
in the day. Jerry
drop.
Green, those guys were voting on it.
Another name drop.
You know what?
Tom.
They debated Lawrence Taylor, for crying out loud, to see if he'd get in. Today's his birthday, by the way.
Oh, LT. You would know.
I would.
There we go.
More
the LT birthday call, Maz. We just heard it.
With the lightning bolt.
Awesome.
Send us the Chargers logo.
Exactly.
We want to put you
Maz.
In.
You know, I get that in.
Why?
How did you know it was LT's birthday? Did you know that going? Did you look at the birthdays and say, I'm getting this in somehow?
No. I didn't tell them anything. I just worked LT into the conversation by saying that Michael Harris told me when it was LT's turn to go in, they were arguing about whether he should go in because of all of his off-field problems.
Were you anticipating a Hall of Fame conversation, or did you just want to get the birthday in?
No, I was anticipating a Hall of Fame, and I knew I was going to get LT in there.
There were probably other birthdays you could have gotten in, too. You probably had every sports birthday.
But Lawrence Taylor, come on, man. That's my guy.
How old is he today?
Great guy.
58, 59?
Yeah. Nice liking that guy and not liking Brady.
Thank you. Yeah,
Now, why do you like LT?
Because he wore the right cloth.
From a personality standpoint, why do you think LT is a better person than Tom Brady?
Well, he's the greatest defensive player in the history of the NFL.
But off the field, will you still give LT the edge over Brady?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No question.
And why
he's
is that?
He's made some mistakes, but he's a real guy. He's real. He admits his mistakes.
He is real. I agree with that.
Yeah
he does admit his mistakes.
His
mistakes. That's true.
He does.
And
Brady
think that's
still hasn't admitted that he knew the whole time what was going on about
he
the
didn't.
Play date.
There's no proof. There's no scientific proof.
Exactly.
That's
why I really like him.
Is that why you think that's enough to give LT the edge off the field?
Absolutely. Right there.
I will say this about the whole Brady thing. I don't understand why the NFL would want to suspend Tom Brady for nothing. It just doesn't make any sense
to me. Because the Indianapolis Colts and the Baltimore Ravens bitch such a fit to the league office.
But it's still Tom Brady. It's the guy. It's the the largest symbol of the NFL is Tom Brady. Why would they want to screw him over for
they
nothing?
They wouldn't.
Because
they
once
wouldn't.
It blew up in their face, they felt like they had to to discipline the Patriots.
Well, they docked him a first-round pick. They fined him. The equipment room guys were disappeared.
Tonight?
What's that,
man? My daughter Abby said tonight watching the Super Bowl?
What?
I swear, I didn't. She was sitting across from me. She looks at me and says, "Hey, Dad, wouldn't it have been great if they punished Brady by not letting him play in the Super Bowl?"
Well, she follows it that carefully on her own.
Yeah, that's what she said to me, my daughter Abby.
Did she know that the league also fined the Falcons for something?
That doesn't matter.
Oh, why does that not matter?
Because they admitted guilt.
Did they really? Oh, only because
Does Abby follow that story as carefully?
Only because they had to pay
no.
a fine. So don't act like the Patriots are the only dirty team in the league.
She only brought up the Patriots. Why dock them money and stuff like that? That doesn't hurt them. What would hurt them is to let the SOB sit out the biggest game of the year.
He sat out 25% of their games.
Doesn't matter. They're meaningless first week game. Meaningless.
Well, if they didn't go 3-1 in them, I mean, what if they lost all four? They wouldn't have had a home game last week.
I got to go with Abby on this one. She makes a great point there.
I agree.
She's the voice of reason in this whole affair.
Is. And she brings it up on her own.
Yeah, that was cool.
Did
she ever heard you talk about it?
No.
Really? Yeah. Wow, yeah. She studied Deflategate that carefully?
She did.
That's wild. Good for her.
In fact, we did a science project on it, and she got an A+.
No kidding. And what was her conclusion in the science project?
That Brady and the Patriots cheated.
No kidding.
Yep.
Wow. And she got an A for it?
A+.
Wow. And was that on her own? Yeah. Was that a group activity?
It was on her own. She figured everything out on her own.
Good for
and
her.
I think anyone
well,
could.
I guess well, Wells should have hired her.
That was
because
cut and dry.
The Wells report was so bad, full of faulty science, he should have hired her.
No, you know what? Because Brady had like those trillion-dollar lawyers.
Oh, that's right, because the NFL hilarious. Does not have high-paid lawyers. I forgot.
Not like that.
That upstart group of the NFL.
They hate all their best players. They look to screw them every chance they
exactly.
get.
Exactly.
They do, and the other owners bitch and complain
it's crazy.
About it.
Well, Maz, anything else on the sports cave visit or the Super Bowl you want to add?
I got to say, the guys, you know, Justin Rose usually does it because Brad is the number one guy, and, you know, he doesn't work the weekend. So Justin works the weekends. So he'd invite me quite a number of times when we were on 105. And I would always, you know, have, you know, something going on. But in reality, I really just didn't want to go on because I can't stand looking at myself on TV.
You don't have to watch it.
I know, but other people will do. I have a face and body for radio. You know that.
Well, I know so how you feel. I hate being on a television. Is right. Upsetting.
I like hiding behind the radio.
I got to tell you, the vest is a strong look.
Thank you.
Not a big fan of vests.
I still think Stoney's wearing sunglasses.
No, they're just one of those. I think those ones that get dark and light. What do they call those things?
Transitions?
Yeah, the transitions. I think the transitions, and they stay dark usually. My wife hated her transitions.
Do you think he knew they would be dark for the taping?
I'm not sure. But he is a veteran of that show, so.
Yeah, I suspect that he knew they would be dark. I think he knew he was going to be in sunglasses for that visit. But I love Stoney. I mean, nothing against him.
No,
I'm just saying.
I do, too. I've always enjoyed him.
Yeah,
he's a Philly guy. I'm a Jersey guy. We get along.
He made some great points. I liked your call for Super Bowl V. That was quite a reference, Maz. Oh. All that Super Bowl rewatching has paid off for you once again.
Oh, but I know that Super Bowl like the back of my hand. That was a hell of a game. And that kick, Jim O'Brien, didn't even buckle his chin strap, if you remember.
Yeah, and you mentioned Leroy Jordan throwing his helmet, too. Was that on the 30-minute review of that? Did they show that?
Oh, God, yeah, you see that.
Better Super Bowl, number 5 or 51?
5.
You're insane.
Sure. Mass's research paying off. I mean, he's watched more Super Bowls more times.
Hey,
how many times?
That catch by Edelman at midfield. That's there. Amazing. I mean, that's the ball game, right? You kind of knew it was over then?
No, not really. That was a time drive, wasn't it? Yeah, but I told
you. That was the David Tyree moment.
I felt, you're absolutely right, but I felt like they were going to lose 28-26. You know how hard it is to get two?
Yeah, I agree. I conversions. I felt funny about
rolling.
It, but they did have the big Mo going for them.
Yeah, were rolling.
Maz, did you have any favorite commercials?
Which ones did I like?
I don't know.
I like, believe it or not, the one, what's the girl's name from the show that we like with Tandy? Tandy's wife.
Oh, Kristen Shaw, the one where she was getting turned on.
Yes, I like that.
That was pretty funny.
I did like that.
I loved Snoop and Martha. Was fantastic.
That was probably the funniest one of the night.
That was good. Now, what show do they have together? We were trying to debate.
Some on the Food Network.
Yeah.
Okay. What do they do? Cook pop brownies or something on there?
No, they don't. But, I mean, all the pot jokes, all the. It was well written, and Martha Stewart delivered it brilliantly. Snoop is always funny.
She's all right. She's all right.
Yeah, she. It's funny what good imaging that is for her, in my opinion, because she seems so stiff and stuffy, but she comes off as kind of cool on
funny,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, she is funny. Actually, she was gorgeous too in her day.
She is a nice looking lady.
Yeah, she's a nice looking lady for her age. She looks fantastic.
Tom, you liked that Mr. Clean ad, didn't you?
I did like that.
Oh,
I did.
God.
Real Men Clean. That's me.
I thought you liked it because he was so sexy in it.
No, I just liked the slogan. I'm a slogan guy.
I can't think of any commercials I really went nuts
about.
No,
there was not.
Spuds McKenzie was kind of funny for a callback.
I didn't like it.
Why?
I didn't like his voice.
How should Spud have sounded?
I didn't like the
guy's voice. As a talking dog.
Spud should have sounded different.
Okay.
That's my opinion. What do you think of Gaga?
Gaga?
I felt Lady Gaga,
I thought Gaga did a great job.
I thought she was phenomenal. She was really, really good.
I'm not a Gaga fan, but I thought she played her hits. I mean, I don't know what else she was supposed to do. It was cool when she started up on the roof there. She said she was going to do that, and they said, no, she's not. But apparently she got her way.
How about the drones? The drones were really cool.
Yeah, that was cool. No, that was cool. There was some cool effects in there.
You know, there was all that talk, too, about she's going to make a political statement. Well, how dare she ruin? And she handled it kind of perfect, really, by singing America the Beautiful and then kind of the spoken word of this land is your land, which has kind of been the rallying cry of a lot of protests. But, you know, how do you get mad at that, no matter what
you
side
don't.
You're on? Yeah, I just thought she handled it pretty safe. Smartly.
I wonder who came up with that because it was it's hard to complain about.
Yeah.
Although apparently people want to boycott Anheuser-Busch for their pro-immigration commercial.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
No. Can we stop with the phony boycotts, by the way?
Enough with the boycott.
The noise, somehow we need to get the noise to go down. I don't know how to do that, but I personally, you know, because I'm a moderate, I don't take all this stuff so personally. The Bill Maher thing, I don't know if you got to see it, Maz, but he did a piece on why he's rooting for the Atlanta Falcons. Did you happen to see
that?
No,
I missed it.
It's really funny. But I sent it to a couple friends of mine who are pretty far on the right, and they did not think it was funny.
Why? It was funny.
I don't know. I just think they hate Bill Maher.
Well, that's
and actually,
fine.
In reviewing it, I realized, well, okay, I guess I can see why they didn't think it was funny. But I thought it was. I thought he made a great point, which was that he can't buy a chicken sandwich without making a political statement of some or getting into a political argument.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how it is these days. I mean, obviously, he was kidding, but there's a lot of that going on. A lot of unfriending on Facebook and
silly. Oh, for God's sake!
Yeah, stupid stuff. Anyway,
what'd you maybe, guys? What was your favorite food of the night? What did you guys eat tonight?
Nothing.
We got pizza from Primo's. It was wonderful.
I haven't eaten since 5 o'clock.
Oh, you must be starving.
Kind of am.
Thanks, Maz.
Hey guys, good talking to you. I'll
okay,
see
buddy.
All right, beat it.
Sorry about the game.
Congratulations.
Hey, what are you gonna do? Thanks for watching me on the Sports Cave. We'll do it again.
Yeah, I gave you a B+, Maz. I thought it was a strong thanks. Performance.
We'll do it.
B+, that's pretty good from you.
Yeah, I could. I mean, maybe even an A-. There was some. Maybe you can fix it. And get an A-. You made a reference.
That'd be awesome.
You made a reference at the end that I didn't understand when Stoney was talking about his favorite Super Bowl, which was the Patriots over the Seahawks.
He said Patriots Carolina. He said.
Oh, he said Patriots Carolina. Okay, I thought he was referring to Patriots Seahawks, and you mentioned Jake DeLome.
He meant the Panthers game.
I thought you said Jake had a great game, and everybody kind of looked. I thought you were talking about different games or something. But okay, I'm A-.
There you go. See?
I was going to judge you harshly.
Pop myself right up.
Cool, Bass.
Good job, Tommy.
All right, guys.
We'll see you, bud.
Peace.
Bye-bye.
The other highlight of the game was probably the coin toss. That was just a
oh, my
moment.
God. Did we call that?
Well, I timed it first off from the announcement. It's basically a 40-yard dash that they need to do. George Bush and Barbara Bush.
Yes.
George Bush in the wheelchair, of course, and Barbara's in a golf cart.
Why wasn't he in a golf cart? Because he would have had to get out of the golf cart to toss the coin?
I think because he's always in the chair.
Okay.
You know? But they had to go 40 yards, and I timed it, and they ran a minute 31:40. It was really hilarious watching this because the guy driving
there
the golf cart.
It's on. Jay's got it.
He's trying to keep speed. Like, see him looking at him eyeballing the driver of the golf cart.
Yeah.
He eyeballs the, is that a Navy? Yeah, the Navy guy pushing.
Yeah, Walking George.
Pushing the president.
So he's slowing down. He's trying not to come to a stop, but it's almost impossible.
But sometimes, now he's behind him, and then you'll see him get ahead of him, and then he gets behind him. He's trying to keep the same speed. I kind of wanted the guy just to go, oh, fuck this. He can meet us there and just floor the golf cart and make it out to the 50. See, now he's catching up. Now he's catching up.
Now he's ahead.
Oh, no, nope, now the president's ahead. No, now Barbara's ahead.
And, you know, it's nice that the country could agree on one thing, which was to cheer George Herbert Walker Bush.
Of course.
He was 92 years old and was not the favorite president. He was a one-term guy, but he's a good guy. He's a patriot.
Still left with pretty high approval ratings, though, you know. And plus it's been...
But not getting the second term is a hard pill to swallow.
But, I mean, that was so long ago, too.
Yeah.
And he's almost dead.
No, presidents wear well, I think, when people realize what a tough job it is, and you're so far away from all the controversies you're involved in. Jimmy Carter would get a huge ovation if he came out, and he was such a disappointment. I don't even think it was Carter's fault that much. I mean, inflation was outrageous. Interest rates were 16.5%.
President Bush. This is Bush.
The hostages were taken in Iran. 300, 400 people.
Oh, President just got blown off by that official there. Did you see that?
No, I did. Can you back it up?
Yeah, he reaches for the coin because he wants to flip it. He knows this is taking too long. Watch. He shakes his hand. And then the president reaches with his left hand. Give me that coin.
He said, in this minute, you can join us for the coin toss. And apparently, George Bush didn't hear that.
This is the coin that we'll be using for the toss.
This is the coin we'll be using for the roll.
And we were talking about the coin perhaps getting caught in a chair or something.
It happened exactly as we thought it would. It never went above his hand.
Yeah, I think the coin flipped twice.
It rolls underneath the Falcon and hits some guy in the shoe.
Yeah, it hits a shoe and brings it to a stop. That guy's shoe determined which side it was on. Not any flip.
Hey, think of how the game could have turned out differently.
True. If his shoe had been in a slightly different place.
It's kind of all the players said hi to him, shook his hand. That was kind of cool.
Yeah, no, that was nice. And, you know, I thought one of the goofy things before the game was that after America the Beautiful, Coke ran that spot with America the Beautiful saying, what language is that? I don't even know what language that was.
Multiple languages, Spanish.
Why? What, do they sing America the Beautiful in their native tongue?
I don't know.
Do we sing Iraq's national anthem in English?
Well, there are Spanish-speaking Americans.
Yeah, but do they sing America the Beautiful in Spanish?
Sure, why not? They sing Happy Birthday in Spanish.
Why would they sing it in their, if they're in their country, why would they sing it? Or why would they sing it in Spanish here? It doesn't even make sense to me.
I think the idea is that Americans are of different backgrounds, is the point. Do
you really think people sing America the Beautiful in other tongues frequently?
I have no idea. Not like I hear America the Beautiful that often anyway.
I highly doubt it. I think the only anthem that we sing in English is the Canadian anthem, and that's because of the Montreal Expos and the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I wouldn't even know the song.
But that's the same ad they ran, or they didn't they run it, what, 3 years ago or two years ago? Yeah. They got a bunch of shit for it, too, then.
It sounded familiar to me.
Yeah.
And I thought it was stupid then, and I thought it was even dumber now. It was right after it was sung by the cast of Hamilton, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was like 5 minutes later.
Now, was there going to be fake? What's there going to be more fake outrage at? America the Beautiful, the Coca-Cola ad, or that the girl ad Sisterhood to America the Beautiful?
I don't think there'll be a lot of outrage. I mean, outrage. I thought it was stupid.
Everything just
I thought it was
to have
bad
fake
marketing.
Outrage now,
if I was Coca-Cola, I would say, "Why did we buy it? Did we know the song was going to be sung that shortly before
it?" The placement's a little weird, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that was, in my opinion, the biggest mistake. I thought it's the idea of that song being sung in all those languages was stupid, too. I bet it doesn't happen. Seriously, do you sing? Have you ever sung another anthem, another country's anthem in English, besides the Canadian national anthem?
But I speak English.
Yeah, but is there another country's anthem that you would ever sing, besides Canada?
No, but there are Spanish-speaking people in this country who might sing America the Beautiful.
In Spanish.
Apparently.
I don't know why they would do that. I mean, they'd sing along with our anthem. While we're singing it in our language, they would sing it in their language.
Yeah, because they don't speak English.
I think they would imitate our language.
They
would do the best
they
can.
Speak English?
Like, you know, pop songs. I was in Panama once, and I was in a disco, believe it or not. Stupid story.
That's a weird way to start a story.
I know. Anyway, Madonna, I forget what song it was. I think it was Like a Virgin or something, was playing. And they were all singing it in English. And I was like, wow, these people all know English. And the guy I was talking to said, no, they just hear the song and they remember the words because they hear it so much and they like it. So they just sing it the way it is. They don't translate it. But, whether they do that for national anthems, I don't know. It's kind of a stupid argument, but that's just my opinion.
Did you like the Ford commercial that ran right after? It was just up on our screen.
You know,
people
were
in really bad positions. They were stuck doing something.
I read about the commercial, and they were trying. I forget what they were trying to do, but I remember thinking, "Boy, they sure are trying to do an awful lot in 90 seconds." Are you talking about the 90-second commercial?
Yeah,
the game.
Yeah, I thought it was a good spot.
I think I missed the spot, and I really didn't understand the point. In fact, in reading about all the automotive spots, they had $84 million spent on automotive commercials.
Yeah.
And I read the summary of what they were, and I thought, in most cases, God, why are they trying to do so much in 60 seconds? Why don't they just tell us they got a great car?
Hey, we got a great car.
Or do something,
it's about branding.
Try for a little comedy or something. I thought they were just trying to do too much. This is the Ford spot?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it was that guy stuck on a ski lift, a guy working on his roof and the ladder falls, basketball stuck in the rim. You know, it's just people that are in stuck situations, kind of. I wish I knew how. Someone was saying they should have shown someone on the toilet with constipation.
Or with no toilet paper. Or a clogged toilet.
Oh, yeah. Oh, speaking of which, we have the Righteous Rick update.
Oh, very important. Is he still undefeated is the question.
The cat with a box on its head. Some idiot stuck in traffic.
Guy stuck in a ski lift.
Some dumb
shit. They could have made the point with about six less of these, but
yeah, you're probably right. It's kind of long.
Like a bird.
now they're showing forward to now you're free.
Being stuck.
Wait, that's why did that Ford kite fly for that girl? To help you. What's that to do with Ford?
Ford's telling you new ways to get through life.
So if I drive a Ford, my basketball won't get stuck in the rim?
Yeah, no, you'll be moving forward.
Today and tomorrow.
And then it ends with an autonomous car. So
well, because I am a fan of Ford, I'm going to say I think it kind of works. But,
Did you see the, I think it was Honda or Toyota that had the like speaking yearbook commercials with the celebrities?
You know, that sounded interesting. Was it good? I didn't see it. Mark asked me about eight commercials, and I was like, no, I didn't see that. You know, and here I was actually taking notes on commercials, trying to watch them, but there were people around. I usually like to watch the Super Bowl by myself.
Yeah. Oh, I love watching it by myself. I don't know. It was really neat seeing it. It was totally different. Let me find it. Was it seven? All right. I got to find it on here, but I'll look for it. About 45 minutes in.
And I felt like I missed 40 minutes of the game and commercials.
Really?
It's crazy. I'm like, how did I miss so many commercials?
Well, I mean, you have to pay attention every second if you want to know what's going on.
I thought one of the funnier commercials was the car going over the side of the hill.
Yeah.
And the guy goes, okay, now I'm dead.
Well, he put the mannequin of himself in it, too.
Yeah.
It was funny.
And he was trying to get out of his phone contract.
Yeah.
And then the Sprint guy, of all companies, Sprint shows up to the rescue. It'd be his new phone company, which was ironic considering I had that little problem with Sprint. But someone at Sprint who is incredibly helpful. Yeah. Oh, my God, is he my hero. And Brandon's hero, too. He's trying to sift through my issue and says it will be solved, and I'm so grateful. I just feel like, what would I do if I didn't know this guy? I'd be at the Sprint store like the 1-800 person told me to do, which, I mean...
Saved you a lot of time.
Yeah, I don't know. It just seemed... Something hit me so funny, but I got really mad. When someone that you're not associated with anymore, or you don't think you are, and you've been paying a bill that you shouldn't have been getting because you don't have a phone anymore, and you tell them about this problem on the phone, and they tell you that you need to go to the Sprint store, it's like, wait, I need to go drive somewhere to solve this? It's not...
pain in the ass.
I know.
Here's the one with the talking yearbooks.
Alrighty.
Honda.
When you start out, you might not know where you're going. Or what you're doing, or why you're carrying this red rose with you.
You just keep going. Keep your focus and avoid the distractions.
Robert Redford.
At times, you may fall flat on your face. But technically, that's still moving forward.
You got to pick yourself up, make some moves, and do it all with a smile.
Believe in yourself. You think that any of these folks believed that I'd make it?
Definitely not.
That was a rhetorical question, Daryl.
If you want to make an album, make an album.
If you want to make a universe, make a universe.
If you want to play the clarinet, maybe don't dress like this, but play the clarinet.
The point is, all dreams are within reach. All you have to do is keep moving towards them.
Here's to chasing dreams and the amazing places they lead. The all-new CR-V.
I mean, Honda. It's kind of a cool ad, but seeing that Honda ad after the Ford ad, is my life really that changing based on the car I drive? Like dreaming and
wow,
elsewhere? I don't know, but
no. But it's a really cool commercial.
Isn't that cool how they
God,
do that?
That was cool. Yeah. The technology is amazing.
I thought so too.
I mean, the head just
came
to life.
Stupid.
What's that?
The message is stupid.
Yeah.
You know, but
I tend to take it for the Super Bowl as well. Honda entertained me, so I'll give Honda points for that. You know, I'm not going to buy a Honda.
Building the brand.
Yeah. Overall, as far as the commercials, I came to the conclusion this weekend that all this talk about the commercials, which is year after year after year, is really another NFL plot to charge more for the commercials.
Sure.
Because look what you get. Everyone talks about them. And I'm sure they do everything they can. They even have shows. The NFL Network ran a show, the best commercials of the Super Bowl and all this. I really don't think the commercials live up to the hype for the most part.
Well, the last few years have been pretty bad. These might be the best commercials in the last, 4 years maybe?
Yeah, I think they've been disappointing, and it just nauseates me the way the NFL is so dominant, just that they, I don't know, they're just so, I don't even know where to start with the NFL, but...
Well, just know Roger Goodell's having a bad night.
Yeah, and I suppose that's good. I mean, there's nothing stopping the NFL. What blew my mind today was watching Fox 2 do their promos for their morning show tomorrow. And they, Fox 2, an affiliate of Fox, which pays a couple $1 billion to get the NFL, you know, which I guess they're lucky that they are able to have the NFL, even though they pay $2 million for it. The Fox morning show calling it the big game. The Fox morning show can't say Super Bowl. Their company paid $2 billion for the game. Are you kidding me?
They have the game. They're the affiliate.
Right.
They're legally allowed to say
incredible.
It, right?
I don't know. I would think so. But is somebody at Fox going, well, why take a chance? I mean, they might sue us.
You don't suppose they think they're sounding hip and cool if they call it the big game, right?
I don't think so. I find that hard to believe. I think it sounds so stupid.
I hate it.
All right. Let me take care of this because it matters. Our friends at Gold Star, and by the way, I got had some interesting mail from people asking me if I think they have something going on at work, you know, a problem.
Oh, yeah.
And all I can say is call Gold Star. You know, this guy, I think it's Glenn that sent me something, and it was really quite intriguing. He worked for a company for quite a while, and he was, in his opinion, unduly let go because of a kind of a group layoff type of situation. But they did say something to the effect that you're not up to the job, and he's been raided. As people are. People get, you know, every year, a lot of people get a, what do they call it, an evaluation. And he's always been above the average at his position. So he was, I think, in a bit of shock, as were some other people. And I don't know why you wouldn't call Gold Star. I mean, it's not for me to pass judgment. It sounded like something to talk about. You know, if you give your life to somebody for a long time and something happens like that, and it's one of those... one of those corporate smear jobs where suddenly they say, you know, you're not as good as we thought you were, you know, after all this. Really? What? Call Gold Star. Let them, like, it doesn't cost you anything. The meeting with the attorney is free. You pay nothing until they win. Maybe you signed something and you got some sort of a severance package and you're concerned about that. Well, just talk about it with Gold Star. They know all that stuff. If you've lost a promotion, missed out on a raise because of your age, race, or gender, you've been injured on the job, maybe you've been sexually harassed at work. And, you know, you're afraid to complain. You don't know what to do. It's really awkward. And by the way, they want you to know that if you complain about harassment at work, they cannot fire you for complaining about it. If they don't do anything about it, then you might want to contact Gold Star. They filed more employment law cases in Michigan last year than all the other firms combined. It's what they do. The other attorneys and judges know about Gold Star, which is why we can recommend them. Call Gold Star Law. Get the money you deserve. Call 248-851-GOLD. 248-851-GOLD or click goldstarlaw.com. And let's see. If you love the podcast, then one of the best ways to support is to support our sponsors like Hall Financial. Interest rates have been shifting a lot recently. That could mean you could save money by refinancing. Hall Financial makes it easy to find out what your payment could be if you refinance today with their online chat feature. Just click the Hall Financial logo on the Drew and Mike podcast website. Is it that easy, Jay?
It's that easy.
Really? And you can chat with an expert. Really? I didn't know about this until right now. Of course, this is new copy. There's no obligation. They don't even need to know who you are to answer your questions. Remember to go to our website, click the link to chat. That means they're keeping track. Or you can call 248-308-5000. More pressure. God, the first month, Gold Star, somebody in Gold Star had a bet. The buyer had a bet with somebody at Gold Star that we would find them a case. It's like, oh, God.
Duh, of course it would.
And I think we did, actually. And it's not that I want somebody to be litigious because there's nothing going on. They just thought, with the size of this audience, somebody out there has an axe to grind at work, and makes sense.
I don't want someone to be screwed over, but it already happened.
Yeah, it already happened. It happened to quite a few people, in fact. And there were a couple that, you know, they met. And maybe there wasn't a case, but they met with a couple other people where there was something going on, and I think they're going to pursue it. So it's always worth a try. And same thing here with Hall Financial. If you find out you can save some money, great. Maybe you can't, then what have you lost? Call 248-308-5000. Make sure you tell them Drew and Mike sent you. Restrictions apply. A Michigan-licensed broker, lender, and NMLS number 1467435. Equal housing lender. You don't have to remember that MLS number, by the way.
Just looking at a couple other things. Willie McGinnis swore on TV. I didn't even hear him swear.
Willie McGinnis.
Yeah, when he was.
What was the occasion?
He was carrying. He was the first guy to carry the Lombardi Trophy. Can you pop me up, Jay? Let's see if we can hear him here. Oh, you can just hear all the players going, saying the F word.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Willie McGinnis is yelling, kiss it, too. He just dropped another mother effer.
Oh, boy. Kristen Stewart swore on SNL last night.
Oh, I know. Right in the monologue.
Yeah, we're going to have a great fucking show.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
She was not so great hosting that.
Yeah, not my favorite. They had some funny stuff, though.
Yeah, I love the Totino's ad that they did.
Yeah, that was funny.
Because that's a playoff from when they did it last year.
Yeah.
Which was real. Those were really funny bits.
The wife is preparing Totino's and husband, hey, we need more Totino's out here. And suddenly she makes a face at Kristen Stewart, who's looking all sexy. And the next thing you know, they're all tangled up with each other. Hey, what are you doing? Making out back there? Come on, let's go.
Yeah, they were.
And my favorite thing on there in terms of humor was the immigration, the commercial for U.S. immigration.
Yeah, very funny. The edited version.
Yeah, they took the original with a woman, you know, so nicely welcoming you to the country, with some guy talking over her and you know, talking about the changes.
Yeah.
You know, unless you're from here, 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 and, you know, pointing at people in the picture going, not you, not you, not you, you, okay?
And then they had the kid, and he goes, aw, no.
I thought that was really funny. I thought the read was great. And I thought it was apparent, too, that they had this thing produced, and then the judge overturned it. And so they added the end. I bet you they added the end piece where he got the phone call and said, what, they've overturned it?
Aw. Did you like the Melissa McCarthy as Sean Spicer?
Yeah, I thought he was good.
That was really funny. And she usually drives me nuts.
Yeah.
It's just all these wacky physical comedy. Like she had a Super Bowl commercial, and I was just like,
oh, what was her commercial?
You know what's funny? I don't even remember what it was for.
I don't either.
But I remember in the beginning, it's like, she needs to save the whales. And of course, it was always, oh, whales. Huh? You better save yourself. And then she had to save, you know, the tree. I don't know. I don't even know what it was. It was her doing a lot of physical comedy, and it went in one ear and out the other.
It's funny. I saw her in the commercial, and I was like, oh, is that Melissa McCarthy again? Oh, my God. You know, that's really rottenness. I hate to say it, but it's just how I felt.
It's just physical comedy, and there's not much else there, although that SNL bit was not, you know, that was actually had some pretty funny lines.
I think she hosted a couple times, right? Or is it just once?
Yeah, no, she's hosted at least twice.
Yeah, there was some fun. She was in some funny skits.
Yeah, sometimes it's bad.
But I am really hard-pressed to think of a movie she was in where she really cracked me up.
Bridesmaids?
But I can tell you a lot of movies where I thought she was just really stupid.
That's what people point to, are Bridesmaids for her. The other movies where she was the lead, I don't know if I really cared for them.
Bridesmaids, it's just not really up my alley.
So. You don't like Bridesmaids?
I saw it, and I remember hearing how funny it was, and I just didn't.
Really?
Oh,
wow. I still okay, think it's kind of funny.
Yeah, it's just not high on my list. I just don't think it was really my kind of movie.
So,
although, you know what? I just remembered. I saw two things Friday night that I highly recommend. One was Arrival.
Oh, yeah.
With Amy Adams.
I really want to see that, yeah.
Really good. First of all, I like anything involving space.
Yeah.
And this was UFOs.
Yeah.
And it was, first of all, you see the UFO, which is always, I mean, very difficult because they can really screw that up and you go, oh my God, that's so fake. And it ruins the whole movie. Or it can be something that's very maybe realistic in your mind. In this case, they really surprised me. First of all, I didn't know if I'd see it. And then when I did, I was like, oh, wow, that's not what I expected, but I could see that. It seemed somewhat. It seemed plausible, and actual aliens too, which was really strange. But I just thought I was willing to believe it.
It got really good reviews.
Yeah, it got really good Rotten Tomatoes, like 93% critics, and it was 87 for the audience or 84 for the audience.
There was some talk about it being nominated. It was nominated for a Golden Globe, I believe.
I think Amy's nominated for Best Actress. Yeah.
And
I thought she was great. I didn't notice that there's large segments of the movie where she's wearing no makeup.
Really?
None.
Huh.
And You know, it's weird when you see someone always made up and you see them with no makeup and it's not your wife or your girlfriend.
Yeah.
And some girls. There was a girl. I used to see this girl in college. I was with her for a couple of years. And I used to stay at her place a lot. And this is after college, actually. And she had a roommate who I thought was pretty damn hot. And one morning, I was getting up to get some coffee or something, and I walked in the hallway, and she was coming out of the bathroom, and she, like, screamed, and I looked at her and was like, who is that? And why is she screaming? It was her roommate with no makeup on, and she put her hand over her face. She put her hands over her face like, you can't see me without makeup.
Oh, that's weird.
She looked so different and so not hot.
Wow. And
it completely freaked me out.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, and I remember telling Terry, it's like, wow, she looks so different. I mean, she's like, oh my God, I know. You weren't supposed to see her. And I'm like, what do you mean I wasn't supposed to see her? And she's like, oh, she never lets anyone see her without makeup.
Oh, odd.
Like, really? Weird. Whatever.
Bummer.
Anyway, Amy Adams does not look nearly that bad with makeup.
What was
but she looks different.
What was the other one you saw? The other movie?
The Iggy Pop documentary.
Oh, yeah.
Gimme Danger.
Good.
And you know, I love Iggy Pop. Yeah. So, although someone was, we were talking about top five bands with Maz. And someone said, here's my top five. And she had Elton John, the Beach Boys. I can't remember. Anyway. And then she goes, and here's yours. Beatles, 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 Iggy Pop. And I do like Iggy Pop, but I'm not a nut. I like him more, his personality and his story and just his perseverance. I just think he's I think he's cool as hell. And he's from around here. And we got to interview him, which was a huge thrill.
One of the best interviews.
Yeah, I thought he was fantastic. I really liked talking to him. He's one of those guys who lived up to everything I thought and more. And I always just had a real place in my heart for Iggy. But it was never so much the music. I love I Want to Be Your Dog. I love the two albums he did with Bowie, Lust for Life.
Mm-hmm.
And the second one was The Idiot. What a great name for an album. The Idiot. And Dum Dum Club, which is about the other Stooges, which is has the coolest, I think, really cool beat in it. And The Passenger.
Great
and
song.
I'm a Punk Rocker, which he did with the Teddy Bears. Really cool song. So he has like seven or eight. Oh, Bang Bang, too. I got mine. He's got about 10 tracks I really like. And then a lot of songs that I like. The Stooges were, they were just a little heavy for me. I just didn't, quite get all the influence, but I mean, a lot of great bands say they were heavily influenced by the Stooges. So
speaking of Elton John, he was at the Super Bowl.
He was.
I'm looking for it because when they showed all the celebrities, they also showed somebody else in the crowd. You want to pop this up, Jay? It was back. I thought it was right here, right after this return. Yeah. There's Mark Wahlberg, of course, huge Patriot fan.
Huge Patriots fan. And Chrissy Teigen and John Legend.
Now, Legend, does he's kissing her. Making out. By the way, Chrissy Teigen, you know, Super Bowl, Sports Illustrated swimsuit model.
Uh-huh.
Do you find her attractive?
Not that, no. Not as I'm supposed to.
I think she's got a weird face.
Yeah, I agree. She doesn't look that great there either.
Okay.
John can cause a stir in a hotel.
There's Sir Elton.
Word for it. Elton John is here.
Oh, John Travolta with two men I've never seen before.
Two very hunky-looking men.
John Travolta. Yeah.
See him in the pregame?
Where is Kelly Preston? Why isn't she at the game?
Maybe it's a boys' weekend, boys-only weekend kind of thing. I told you this. I'm dying for like these announcers like Joe Buck or people that when they point out John Travolta... And there's John Travolta, the bisexual John Travolta, as we've recently learned. He's a man that enjoys both sexes. Nothing wrong with that.
Because they usually announce a person's sexuality. There's the gay Elton John, the straight John Legend.
I know, it's not going to happen.
I know.
But I just think it would be cool because
that's
everyone's acting like everything is normal with John Travolta. And it's not normal. Why is this story has never been covered by any kind of media whatsoever but the tabloids? And it's real.
I tell you, he's living another lie, and this one pissed me off more than anything. You're going to talk about the pregame show?
Yes.
Rob Riegel did his bit, and I thought it was an okay bit. It was kind of it was a parody song of Garth. What are you laughing at?
Just the whole Travolta thing is so ridiculous.
So the parody, it was a parody song of Friends in Low Places about rooting for your team who don't go anywhere. And like Kristen Bell was on there representing the Lions. And Rob Riggle represents the Kansas City Chiefs. I think Aaron, what's the guy?
Travolta had his hands all over him, by the way.
Huh?
Travolta had his hands all over the Chiefs guy.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Yeah, when he was singing, he was like kind of handling this guy.
I was in blind rage, though, because he was saying he's a Patriots fan.
He's from
New York. Yeah.
A Giants or a Jets fan? You know what?
The last thing he would be is a Patriots fan.
This is going to sound silly, but I have a feeling that he's not really a football fan.
Oh, no, absolutely.
But
he's at the Super Bowl every year. Maybe that's the only time. That's not the only time I get to hang out with the boys.
The only time I can get away.
Hey, Doug, five the jet. We're going to the Super Bowl.
Kelly, it's really a guy's weekend. Somebody emailed, by the way, and complimented your John Travolta.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
it's a work in progress.
Yes. Like, I don't think it's a work in progress. I think it's a caricature.
It's more Vinny Barbarino.
Caricatures can be better than actual impersonations, in my opinion.
Stupid. But how funny is that? That Kelly Preston's nowhere to be found.
No,
and it's John in a suite full of hunky dudes.
Right. That's when I think it's okay to point out. There's the bisexual John Travolta on a boys' weekend out.
I just picture Kelly like seeing it on TV, going, "Oh, there's John and all his strong male friends hanging out."
I think she would rather see him with a bunch of hot women, which is really weird, but I have a feeling she would. She probably thinks if he's with a bunch of dudes, oh, my God, he's probably getting BJs all weekend and giving BJs and bringing home God knows what.
I like the idea, though, that she's not in the loop, though, and she thinks he's totally straight. So it's like, oh, there's John. Okay, good. There's no girls in that suite. It's just John and a bunch of very manly looking, like she doesn't even know like what a gay person looks like.
Gay!
Can you imagine John announcing to her that, this is something I got to tell you, Kelly, I am attractive. And Kelly's going, John, I knew that. Are you kidding me? I've done that for years.
Like, no, but I like having sex with them.
No, John, my God. Read your text messages.
John, you haven't gone down to me in 30 years, of course. Do we miss any other great celebrities that they showed? I think that was pretty much all of them.
Kelly Preston alleges that she got pregnant from pre-com.
Oh!
Never did.
Ew.
It never happened. Big event never happened.
They showed Mike Pence in the crowd, too.
Oh, that's right. Who was Pence? Was he in that hunky? Oh, my God. I hope his suite was next to that hunky man suite. That would freak him out.
What other celebs did they show? Was that about it?
So I was wondering. I guess they... Shoot, I went too far. There's the ad for Stranger Things 2.
God, the celebs are just all over the place at the Super Bowl. It's funny. You find that eventually they get interviewed by everyone. I know you were listening to Dan Lebatard on ESPN.
Yeah.
And Lebatard, you know, they have people on. And you know they do Radio Row, where local shows go down there.
Yep.
And they have people on. I'm sure somebody went down there from here.
Well, Lebatard's been killing me because he's had the anti-Super Bowl show. So every day this week he's talked to Kenny G.
I know,
and they've been hilarious interviews.
I thought the funniest thing was when Kenny G, he found out that Kenny G was down there with somebody else, or he knew somebody else was down there, so he had Kenny G texting questions to...
Oh, no, Kenny G's not there. He was hanging out with Richard Marx the night before.
Oh, that's right,
And so, you know, Lebatard and Stugatz were just like, oh my God, what is a night with those two like? And of course, just claiming they're doing blow and stuff while he's on the phone. So they ended up getting Richard Marx called in. I didn't hear that part, but that show's really a good anti-sports show.
Yeah.
They send a girl to Radio Row because they'll never go.
Right.
And they talked to her, and I heard her on Friday, and she was so miserable. She just wanted to leave.
Did she get some people for them? Did you just put them on the phone?
You know what? I didn't hear her the other days, but on Friday, she's like, I'm just over this. It took me our hotel is three blocks from the media center, and it took me an hour and a half to get here.
Oh, what a disaster.
Yeah. The Super Bowl really... is a pain in the ass, and I have zero desire to go to one.
Well, this is breaking news, and it's huge breaking news. Matt Riley and his crew, who go to every Super Bowl, did not go this year because they hate Houston. They went to the Super Bowl there the last time, and everything is so spread out.
Really?
That they just had a terrible time at Houston. It was the worst Super Bowl that they've ever been to. That doesn't mean they won't go next year if it's in Miami or New Orleans.
He didn't like Jacksonville either, though.
Yeah, he's had a couple of experiences that weren't his faves, but...
Although it was fun.
They have a ball. If it's New Orleans or Miami or San Diego or somewhere, they have a great time. I'm sure they'll be back.
You know what? I kind of take it back because I think it was fun having it here.
Oh, yeah, it was great fun having it here. It was absolutely fun.
A lot of fun events.
No, for media, too, it's fun because there's just so many people. And
we know our way around the city, too, so it makes it a little easier, I guess.
Yeah. And just
no shortcuts.
And the challenge of getting people you're not supposed to get is always fun, and you know they're here, and like that Michael Irvin thing. That was a real highlight. I mean, and his barber.
Yeah. Pedro.
Yeah, sending people to his barber, giving him plugs so he could cut some hair while he was here. Besides Michael's, who apparently he cuts every other day or something. I mean, I could not believe Michael Irvin had to bring his barber for a 1 week stay in Detroit. But hey, that's Michael Irvin.
Hey, the other thing from the pregame, which we both saw and laughed our balls off at, was the host of the red carpet in the tuxedo was Cooper Manning, brother of Peyton and Eli.
I sent Pat an email.
Yeah.
Or a text just saying, Pat, when did Cooper Manning get hired by Fox TV? And Pat's response, he knew nothing about it. He said, when Peyton picked up the phone.
Probably.
And
why is Cooper Manning interviewing people on the red carpet?
I had no idea. And I expected somebody to say, and Cooper Manning's been added to the Fox lineup here. But they just acted like he's just part of any football.
Yeah, like, why wouldn't he be interviewing people?
Like, he's a Manning. And I don't know. It was kind of silly. And he seemed a little awkward to me.
He was very awkward. One of the first things who was he talking to? Somebody was at the NFL honors the night before, and he's like, so you saw my dad, and my dad does. It's like, wait, is this all Cooper Manning? All his reference points are his dad and his two brothers?
Yeah.
I don't know. It was
pretty much.
Really, really weird.
Yeah, it was very strange. That was just silly. I made a few notes about the pregame, too. Maybe I can find
there it. There wasn't much to it. It's just a lot of pre-taped interviews that are boring.
I know. How do you fill 6 hours? Actually, was it six? It was it started at 1 o'clock, I think. So it was 5.5 hours of pregame. And, yeah, they just – I think they have to schedule a ton of it in advance because how the hell would you fill six, 5.5 hours? And so, yeah, there's a bunch of crap. And that's where those celebrities make their final run. God, I know there's some other stuff besides Cooper Manning. Let's see. Wait.
There were a lot of wacky bits with Jimmy Johnson and Terry Bradshaw.
Yeah, which were incredibly unfunny.
Oh my god.
Yeah, all that stuff was really stupid. I'm trying to remember who picked the game right. Jimmy Johnson picked the Patriots. Strahan picked the Falcons.
He's the only one that had the Falcons. And then Howie Long, of course, picked the Patriots because his son's on the team. Which, you know, if you're looking for an analyst to really break down a game, you hope they pick the team that their kid's on.
Yeah.
That's kind of weak.
Trump was on with O'Reilly at 4 o'clock. And let's see.
We got a lot of killers in the U.S. government.
Yeah, he was talking about the fact that he respects Putin. And Bill O'Reilly pointed out that Putin is a killer. And Trump said, well, our country's done some things we're not proud of, too. And I think O'Reilly's trying to make the point that Putin has killed people himself or is responsible for killing people himself, someone.
And
Trump didn't seem to want to make the distinction between that and the country doing things like collateral damage. I'm not sure what Trump was referring to, but anyway, he mentioned the Iran deal being such a ripoff, $1.7 billion in cash, which I never understood that deal, but I don't know. Oh, it came up because Iran is doing some things with testing.
They're not respecting us, is what he said, because they're driving their little boats around.
And Trump, their little boats around our aircraft carriers. Yeah. Trump picked the Patriots by 8, by the way, so I'm sure he's feeling very good.
I got to find that story about him leaving his Super Bowl party early, because the pool report was hilarious.
There's one other thing from the pregame show. George Takei's Pizza Hut commercial was running over and over and over. Was it Oh My? Is that what he kept saying over and over? Yeah. And the first time was kind of funny, and he boogies a little bit at the end, which is sort of silly. But by the sixth or seventh time, it started to seem really stupid.
Yeah.
And his Oh My even seemed a little worn out. While you're looking for that, I got Today in Rock coming up in a second.
So Donald Trump had a Super Bowl party, and they took a picture of the party. But, you know, they have a group of press that follows the president and, his staff around.
Yeah.
And that's called the pool, and they do pool reporting. So here's the pool report of Trump leaving his Super Bowl party. As of 8:57 p.m., the motorcade is rolling from the Trump International Golf Club as Super Bowl 51 continues, but POTUS's preferred team trailing. A mix of club staff and party guests stood under the covered entrance where POTUS departed. Because, you know, it's all basic fact. Pool had loaded back into the pool vans minutes into the second half, listening to the play-by-play on the radio. Leaving the club, the pool passed walls aligned with framed photos, magazine covers, one in Russian, and other mementos, mostly including Trump, but some others with sports stars. Two of the framed pools spotted containing ratings charts showing The Apprentice on top. There was also a plaque showing members with holes in one on the course. Mr. Trump was one of them.
Of course. I thought those were some of the funniest jokes on SNL were about The Apprentice ratings.
Yeah, I just think that's really funny, though, that that's in the pool report by the AP writers and stuff.
Did he left because he was bummed the Patriots were losing?
Who knows? That's what they say. I do you really think that's the real reason?
Well, I just don't think it was a good game.
So you think
at
he would,
that point, he probably was bored by the game, like many people were.
I assumed he would have left at, you know, halftime anyway, right?
Yeah, I mean, very possible.
He left in the third quarter when it was 28-3, so I don't know, maybe.
I'm trying to remember what the joke was that Baldwin made about The Apprentice ratings. You know, that open on SNL?
Yeah, there were a couple
funny.
Where
it
he was
cracked
calling,
me up.
Where he was calling the world leaders.
Yeah. What was the joke about The Apprentice? I think he came back to it a couple times.
I can't remember.
It's so, I mean, it's just so inane. Why is he talking? Why is the President of the United States talking about the ratings for a reality TV show? It's just so ridiculous.
The other funny thing, politics-wise with Trump, you saw Kellyanne Conway in the Bowling Green massacre.
Yeah, which, you know, I got to be honest. Kellyanne Conway impresses the hell out of me, and I don't think there's any way he could have been elected without Kellyanne Conway.
Yeah.
And she makes a mistake, and it was obviously an error. I thought it was blown up in a way that I don't normally see a mistake blown up. I mean, she's obviously very on top of her game. She's very smart, and she fucked up. But it just seemed like there was universal media delight, whether it was, you know, making it the – I want to say it was the lead story on the Today Show.
It was a pretty weird thing to mess up, the
Bowling Green
massacre.
It was an odd screw-up. It reminded me of George Bush saying it was Pearl Harbor Day in September.
Yeah. I was surprised, though, that Chris Matthews didn't go, huh?
Well, that's exactly
– follow up on it. But
I was going to say was that Chris Matthews, who – you know, is the other person in the conversation. I thought, did he, because what I saw was he let it go by and didn't say anything.
He didn't.
Did he pick
didn't.
Up on it?
No,
he
did not.
He didn't?
But what I was going to say
I
about
thought that
it
was
is,
as newsy as the mistake,
thought,
in a way.
I thought the internet was really funny with it. Did you see all the tweets and
yeah,
stuff?
Yeah, I saw it. There was some funny stuff, and that's, you know, to be expected.
About Frederick Douglass being at the Bowling Green massacre because of the whole Frederick Douglass problem.
Yeah.
I thought that was funny.
Yeah, there was some funny stuff.
And then there was somebody that set up the BowlingGreenMassacreFund.com for remembrance of all the victims, and you can donate to them.
Well, all the internet
stuff. That stuff's hilarious.
It's to be expected. You know, if she makes a mistake or anybody makes a mistake, it was the mainstream, the normal, regular news reporting media that I just thought it was a lot bigger.
So you don't think she was trying to pull a fast one?
No, no way. No. Okay. I mean, that's... You mean an alternative fact? Well, you thought she did it intentionally, thinking no one would notice?
No, I just think that's a pretty weird thing to mess up. The Bowling Green massacre?
Well, think of how much that chick has to think on her feet and how many things she talks about. And, I mean, she's quite a spinner.
Yeah, so why would she get it wrong? I would think because of that she would get it right. Because she's already talked about it four or five different places about... You know, Barack Obama did the same thing, which it really wasn't the same thing. But
I think she's a lot smarter than that. Right. I mean, if she did that intentionally, then she's not as smart as I think she is. I think she was the best weapon Trump had in the campaign.
Oh, without
far
without
better
a doubt.
Than Rudy Giuliani or anyone.
Oh, I don't doubt that at all. I think, but the last week she's been a little weird about things.
What else did she screw up?
God, there was something else she was defending him. Well, she's the one that came up
well,
with alternative
facts.
Well, she
always defends him. I mean, that's her job.
She's the one that came up with alternative facts.
Yeah. Regarding the attendance at the inauguration.
Mm-hmm.
The attendance at the inauguration, you mean?
Mm-hmm. That was the other joke from SNL when he's talking about, you know, they didn't on Holocaust Remembrance Day, they didn't say Jews.
Yeah.
So in the SNL bit, he goes, over 6 million people that were at my inauguration. Kind of funny.
Oh, man. That was Baldwin. I think that that bit has been really good. The one thing that I think is stupid about it is when he acts like Trump is an idiot.
Well, I think that's just...
He's pompous as hell, no doubt, but I don't think Trump is a moron.
Just a satire of it.
But it's, I think you want to satire things that have some basis in reality. I just don't think of... That's where I think it just... if it has a weakness, that's it, in my opinion. But stand by for On This Day. But first this, as we start to wind down here, we've got to get Jay home. Yeah, I wouldn't mind going to bed either. February means three things. Groundhog's Day. Spring is around the corner. And Drew and Mike podcast listeners get sick deals at Zot Ford and Holly. Lease a new 17 Ford Fusion for $98 a month. Yes, that's brand new Ford Fusion for less than $100 and more likely cheaper than your cell phone bill. Way cheaper than my cell phone bill, even my real cell phone bill. Hurry to I-75 at exit 98 before the price of a new car goes higher than your phone bill. I don't think that's going to happen, though. See the details in the massive inventory at dealsintheD.com. As some of you may know, Zot Ford has the hottest sales staff in Oakland County. And for that reason, Zot Ford is celebrating with even hotter deals on Ford Escapes and F-150s. For a limited time, Zot Ford and Holly is leasing new 17 Ford Escapes for $109 per month for only 24 months. Also, you can lease a new 16 Ford F-150 Super Cab 4x4 at $173 a month on the same 24-month lease. Check out their wild deals, hot sales staff, and massive inventory at dealsintheD.com. Get there! And as I mentioned, somebody said they were looking at used cars there, and somebody else had emailed about, do they have used cars? Yeah, they've got used cars. If you want a car, you can go to Zot Ford and find pretty much what you want. And check dealsintheD.com, especially if you're looking about at new cars. They are a studio sponsor, and they have all the information you could possibly need. And today is it still February the 5th?
No.
It's going to have to be February the 5th because it's February the 5th. I forgot we were on so late. 1957, the first American rock artist to arrive in the UK, Bill Haley and the Comets. 1957, they were the first American artist to make it into the UK. They were greeted by 5,000 fans when the Queen Elizabeth arrived. They were on the Queen Elizabeth. They didn't even fly. Did people fly that much in 57? I guess maybe not.
Huh.
1962, Pete Best was ill for the first time. He missed a Beatles gig. Oh. Ringo Starr.
Way to go, Wally Pip.
Boy, what a move. Ringo Starr filled in. He was borrowed from Rory in the Storm just to fill in for two gigs. And Paul McCartney noticed that he was keeping pretty good time, like better time than he normally felt was kept in the Beatles shows, and just put a little idea in their head. Mm-hmm. 1967, February the 5th, News of the World reported Mick Jagger took LSD at the home of the Moody Blues. I guess they all lived together. Jagger sued for libel, and the news settled. The Stones had quite a battle with the British media at that time. 1970, on this day, David Bowie recorded four songs for a BBC show, but most importantly, Mick Ronson's first appearance with Bowie at lead guitar. He would stick and was Bowie's go-to lead guitarist pretty much till his death, although he used other people, and Ronson died in, I think it was 91 or 92, so he played with a bunch of guys after that. 1971, Black Sabbath started recording Masters of Reality. What is most notable about this is that Tony Iommi and Geezer Butler down-tuned their guitars three semitones, creating a much darker sound, which would be hugely influential on many of the bands in the future, including Smashing Pumpkins, Soundgarden, and Nirvana specifically. Are you a Black Sabbath fan, either of you guys?
Oh, Jay is.
Jay.
Yeah.
You like all their records?
Yeah, most of them.
You like that dark sound?
Yeah, just good heavy sound.
That is heavy. It just sounds heavy.
You know, Tony lost the tips of his two of his fingers on his playing hand before they recorded.
You mean when? Recently or?
No. When they were getting ready to go and start recording.
Oh, way back when?
Albums. Yeah, he worked in a factory and he lost the tips of two of his fingers.
I think I read that because I have his book and I didn't finish it. But so what did he? How did he survive that?
Just got him reattached and he had to go through and get, you know, through a recovery process, and he's able to still record.
Wow. And he said cancer, too. He's been through some tough stuff. I guess, are they on their last tour now, or is it over?
They keep saying they're done, but yeah.
Oh, they've done. I'm not a huge, I love Ozzy.
Yeah.
And I like some of his music. I'm not a big Black Sabbath fan. It's just a little heavy for what I usually like. I'm more poppy, I think. Pop rock, whatever you want to call it. But I didn't know they had declared the end was near before, but it sounded a little more like the end this time. But then Ozzy said something about, well, that's just for Black Sabbath. Doesn't mean I'm done. Like, he might still go out there. I don't think Ozzy's ever done until he's 6 feet under. 1972, Paul Simon's first release without Garfunkel, Mother and Child Reunion. That's a cool tune. It'd be a top five hit. He got the title from a chicken and egg dish at a Chinese restaurant. Mother and Child Reunion. That's pretty clever. I never heard that. Same thing with the Cuckoo Could You, Mrs. Robinson. I had no idea that came from Adam the Walrus. 1983, Def Leppard started a 92-week run in the U.S. charts with Pyromania, which would sell 6 million copies in the U.S. alone, but was never number one.
What is Nine Arms and Sucks?
Nine Arms and Sucks, Def Leppard? I never heard that before.
You've never heard that joke?
No, I never heard that joke.
We were just talking about that the other day for some reason. I don't remember why.
2003, Courtney Love was arrested at Heathrow Airport for air rage. It was mostly for obscenity in an argument with a steward, I guess. And she was held at a police station when she was arrested, apparently. And when asked what that was like, she said it was like being on Prime Suspect. I don't know if she's ever been on Prime Suspect, but anyway. 2004 was the day that Janet Jackson's boob became the most searched for image in net history. Is that still number one? Is something past it, you know?
God, I have no idea.
It seems like something would have passed it by now, doesn't it?
Yeah, but I did look that up, by the way. It is what took YouTube to a new level.
Oh, it was.
Yeah
that made sense. You want to Google that? The most searched for images in web history? Maybe there's a list. That'd be kind of interesting. 2006, this is something I never heard about our Super Bowl. The Rolling Stones played halftime at our debut Super Bowl, which was on February the 5th, 2006.
XL.
Mm-hmm. The Stones were pissed afterwards, claiming that Mick's mic was turned down at the end of Start Me Up when he's saying, "You make a dead man come."
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I never knew that.
You know, I remember watching it and going, hey, he didn't sing the dead man come part. See you on.
So they
pulled, turned the mic down.
They did?
Yes, and they were pissed, very pissed.
Is that the NFL that did that?
It was the NFL probably ordered, I'm guessing, but it was done at the stadium.
What year was Janet?
Janet was 2004.
So it's only, what, 2 years later?
Yeah, 2 years later.
That's why.
Makes sense. I mean, I could see the NFL doing it.
It was a little silly, but
they played Rough Justice, too, which was a newer song from Bridges of Babylon, maybe. And there's a line in Rough Justice that they actually turned the vocal monitor down, too.
Really?
Yeah, and I think it was something about Cox.
Nice not telling them.
Yeah, that's why they were so pissed. 2008, on February 5, Amy Winehouse questioned by police about a video that showed her smoking crack. And, you know, I remember reading that in her mother's book, and there was all this talk about arresting her. And I thought, wow, you can arrest someone for a video of using drugs? Yeah, she was not arrested, though. And then 2015, ironically, after Jay mentioning Tony Iommi's fingers, NXS guitarist Tim Ferriss said he might not play guitar anymore after severing his right ring finger in a boating accident. He was operating a winch on his boat when somehow it got severed.
Yeah.
I know. Ugh.
Gross.
He's had it reattached in two separate surgeries, but it's never worked properly. So, I don't know. Is there really a lot of demand for NXS? I
mean, no.
Yeah, that whole TV show to find them a singer, and the guy was good.
That's right. I forgot about that.
And they put out a record right after that. And
yeah.
I remember that first song was kind of a hit, but and they toured and all that. But birthdays. Hal Blaine, the great drummer, who is famous for being part of the Wrecking Crew, who played on so many songs. His session work was, as a drummer, unparalleled. Nobody played on more hits. I mean, he played, like, you know, on a Birds record, for example. It's like, the Birds, they've got guitarists and drummers, but they used all the Wrecking Crew for a lot of those songs on a couple of Birds records. He played on 50 number one hits and 150 Ooh. Top 10 hits. Amazing. Ooh. Barrett Strong, he's 88. Barrett Strong, also the first artist to record a hit for Motown, Money. He also wrote Ball of Confusion, War, Papa's Rolling Stone. And I don't know if he's alive or not. I forgot to write that down. Yeah. Corey Wells is a 75 Three Dog Night singer who wrote Mama Told Me Not to Come and sang on it, too, along with a few others. Nigel Tufnel of Spinal Tap is 69. Now, is this his mythical birthday or is it Harry Shearer's birthday? It's got to be Harry Shearer's birthday.
Yeah.
I imagine. I bet Harry Shearer is 69 today.
These go to 11.
God, what a great name, Nigel Tufnel. How much time do you spend thinking that?
Harry Shearer's birthday is in December.
It's not. So it's really Nigel Tufnel's mythical birthday.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's mentioned in the movie. Will somebody please email about that? Duff McKagan of GNR is 53. Chris Barron, the Spin Doctor singer, is 49. Where's Chris Barron? Where are the Spin Doctors? Are they out there?
I have no idea.
I know.
No.
Isn't that weird? What band has had... I mean, they had five songs that got airplay on that one album.
They did?
Yeah. I think it was five.
I just remember sure. Two Princes.
Yeah, I remember Two Princes. I want to say at least three. I thought there was four or five. And then it was like, see ya. Bobby Brown's 48.
Wait, didn't we look this up not that long ago? I thought they were still touring.
Chris Barron. Yeah, they were touring. You found them touring for sure.
Yeah. Oh, Little Miss Can't Be Wrong, too.
Yeah.
Two Princes hit number seven. Little Miss Can't
I'm
Be
not
wrong
saying they were all 70s. Big hits, but I think they got play. I think Riff played at least three Spin Doctor songs. But as soon as they were, you know, as soon as they were recurrents, I think it disappeared.
They just released an album 4 years ago.
I wonder how it did.
It didn't chart.
Oops.
This album did... was five times platinum.
Yeah, I knew it was a big record.
Pocket Full of Kryptonite. I don't recognize any other song off it.
Maybe it seemed like five songs because I hated the two so much. That's the only thing I can think of. We got just about 10 minutes left, so I wanted to mention...
we got to talk about Righteous Rick, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Why don't you go ahead and do that? What happened to Righteous Rick? I was dying to know if he was still undefeated.
Rick had his big fight on Saturday, and the good news is he's still undefeated.
Yes.
The bad news is he didn't get a victory either. He didn't what? Fight.
Wait, does he get a forfeit?
I guess he gets a forfeit victory.
I want to add a victory to his victory column.
His opponent allegedly didn't show up.
That's a forfeit.
I'd want my money back if I went to that show, man.
Yeah, that's crap. I mean, he's on the bill.
He is the bill, right?
Seems to me he's part of the advertising, too. Wasn't he mentioned in the... He said he was mentioned.
He said he was.
I didn't see anything, but...
Can you believe that? He kept posting videos, too, like of fight night and being ready, and then his, you know, his opponent didn't show up.
I would have thought
they
would have...
find a toilet.
Wouldn't you have thought they would have found someone else? They would have just grabbed one of the other people from the other
fight?
Anybody
out of the stands.
Yeah, anybody
at that
in the
point.
Stands, exactly. Just Who's get, got the balls?
Just to get Rick a victory.
Well, that blows. That's
no, I
so.
Know. He's got to be bummed. Yeah, he said, my attempt at a victory, and as I stated, my fight was called off as my fighter was a no-show. It happens.
What do you mean? It doesn't happen very often, does it?
I've never known it to happen.
I think they should have taken... I'm amazed they didn't produce somebody for him. I'm really surprised.
Anybody. Just get somebody out of the crowd.
Not to mention him praying for it and getting all fired up and, you know, all that time. And then all of a sudden comes the moment and wah, wah. Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. So hopefully he'll get a real fight in.
I wanted to mention the 2020 Friday night, which was something we talked about on the show. This guy.
We sniffed this one out right away.
Oh, yeah. He's got Asperger's. I call it asshole burgers because I'm, first of all, questioning everything about this guy.
I told you, I think he might be faking his Asperger's.
Yeah, I wondered about that, too. It's clearly working to his advantage that he has Asperger's because, you know, he went out to sea going fishing, deep sea fishing, in a boat that really wasn't made for deep sea fishing, apparently. He seems to have damaged the boat. What did he take off the boat?
He said he was taking off stabilizers, which, once again, if you're going deeper and further out than you ever have, why would you take stabilizers off your boat?
It made no sense. And also, someone went down there when he was drilling holes in the boat and filling them with putty.
Yeah.
Why would you drill holes in the boat? He said that was part of taking the stabilizers off, but everyone said, no, you wouldn't need to drill holes to take stabilizers. First of all, you wouldn't take stabilizers off. Second of all, you wouldn't need to drill holes to do it.
I don't know much about boating, but I don't think you want to drill holes into your boat.
Hell no. I don't know much
unless
about boating either.
Drown,
I know,
unless you're trying to kill somebody.
I've done a little boating, but enough to know that you sure as hell wouldn't do that. And then the insurance company wouldn't pay the life insurance that he's the beneficiary on because they said his story about being in the lifeboat, the life raft, for a week was BS.
Yeah.
Didn't happen.
I think he threw his mom overboard or killed her and threw her overboard and hung out on that boat for a few days and then sank the boat.
Yep.
And then decided to go, oh, yeah, I'm floating. But still, you know, even that's a little risky because he got found by a Chinese shipping.
Yeah.
You know, so he would have had to have been in that, unless he knew it was coming, unless he knew that boat was on his radar.
Well, that's
something.
It's all very interesting. I mean, there's
still,
a certain,
now he's taking the risk of that boat having to sink, too.
Yeah.
Although if he drilled all those holes in it, it shouldn't be that hard.
There was luck involved in him being found by this passing freighter.
Yeah.
But what is even more interesting is that the life raft he had should not have been able to stay upright in 13-foot waves where he was. And if he was indeed out there for a week straight, they said he would probably have broken bones from being thrown around so much.
That's the thing. He was totally fine.
He was absolutely fine. He was walking. He had a little bounce in his step, if you ask me.
Yeah, no, he's elated.
And
That 2020 kind of pissed me off because I felt like they were...
They were too nice. They were too easy on him.
Yeah.
They were, and so were the other reporters, you know, when he was talking from his truck and somebody had their microphone in the way of the door and he couldn't shut their mouth. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, good luck.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you talking about? And then when the second story came on, first the story with his mother, first of all, his three aunts, her sisters, will not talk to him. And they have hired security. They're afraid of him.
Did they mention, I can't remember on the 2020 piece, but this is why we sniffed it out originally. Did they mention on the 2020 piece that the boat was only, what, was it 40 feet long? Is that how long it was? It was not a very, no.
His boat.
20 feet.
His boat was 20 feet,
20 feet, that's right. And he said he couldn't find his mom and when the boat started sinking. And
he acted like she just disappeared, like she just jumped off the boat for a swim or something.
That is ridiculous.
No, it made no sense.
You couldn't find somebody while it's sinking slowly.
It also made no sense that he checked the engine and saw that the engine was bringing water into the boat, and then all of a sudden, the boat was underwater.
Yeah.
Like, he turned around, and, oh, my God, we're underwater.
And he had time to get all the emergency supplies. I think that's why we're like, there's something fishy about
He had his water, his salt water to change it into regular drinking water thing. How was he so well prepared if this happened so suddenly? It was, all of it was ridiculous. And then, on top of it all, the insurance company turns him down. But I had no idea the story about his grandfather, who was the other person who was very close to him besides his mother. His grandfather, who was a multimillionaire, who was 87 years old and retired and, you know, living quietly somewhere nearby, was murdered, shot to death in his bed. Mm-hmm. And guess who was the last person with him? Mr. Asshole Burger.
This dope who needs to learn how to shave. Does he not have the worst facial
hair? Oh, well, yeah, there's that. There's a lot of things about this guy.
He's guilty of having stupid hair and bad facial hair.
You know, I don't know what the deal is with, you know, I suppose you can't, well, anyone could fake anything, but the Asperger's just seemed to me like it was a convenient excuse to say that he doesn't defend himself very well because he has Asperger's or, you know, he's not very social. I understand all those things, but this is ridiculous. He was the last person with his grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
He also had just purchased a gun, which I think it was a .308.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is. I'm not a gun guy. But his grandfather, they believe, was shot with a .308. And guess what? They can't find his.
They can't find the murder weapon. They can't find his gun.
And his hard drive is missing. And how did he answer that? He said, they never asked me for it. Well, but why is it missing? Why would you remove your hard drive?
I don't think they're going to ever convict him for his grandfather's murder. It just seems like it's so,
I think that sounds easier than his mother's death.
I just wanted to, can they go find that boat? Is that just impossible?
Yeah, I know. Wouldn't that be great if they could find the boat or his mother?
Is it impossible to find that boat?
Hey, Jay, why do people... Oh, is Mags making a noise over there?
That's why I was just wondering. I thought I heard one of them snoring.
Yeah, I think Mags is snoring. Who does snore?
Crashed over there.
Layla snores, too.
Somebody was.
Hey, Mags. Why does someone remove their hard drive other than wanting to people not to see certain things?
Really, that's it. I mean, unless it's faulty, there's something wrong, you're trying to replace it, but
how often does that happen?
Very rarely.
Very rarely.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's clearly getting rid of evidence. I mean, if he took it out, why didn't he put a new one in, you know?
Yeah, he may have put a new one in, but if you removed a hard drive because you were having problems with it or whatever, would you throw it out?
No, because you want to try to recover the data off of it before you get rid of it. Hmm. Try to salvage your files.
Yeah, every time I hear that, it just sounds so suspicious. But for some reason, this guy has escaped. He hasn't been charged with anything. The two people closest to him, he's only close to two people in his whole life, and they're both dead.
Yeah.
And he's a suspect. He's still a suspect in his grandfather's death, and he's a suspect in his mother's death.
Yeah.
I wondered if he thought when he murdered his grandfather he was going to inherit a lot of money, not knowing it would go to his four daughters first, and then he would inherit it from his mother or that share of it. And so he said, well, I got to kill my mom to get the money now. Oh, shit. Yeah. Oh, okay. I got it.
I like, too, that he tried to control the interview by canceling it twice in the middle of the interview, just going, we're done with this question. We're done with this interview. And then he just comes back and then answers other questions.
Yeah, when there's a question that he didn't want to answer or his answer wasn't good enough, he suddenly just said the interview is over.
He's got something. I just don't know if he's playing it up a little bit. And by the way, he's a really shitty... he fixes up houses. He's a kind of shitty
handyman. Yeah, he's a flipper. He says he's flipping a house.
Taking him forever to do that house.
Yeah, it's not... That house looks like a piece of shit. I wouldn't buy that house under any circumstance. I don't care what he's charging.
More breaking Super Bowl news?
Yeah.
Somebody has stolen Tom Brady's jersey.
Oh!
Out of the locker room. He cannot find it.
Uh-oh.
Can you believe that?
Already?
Yeah.
I know, that's amazing.
And he knew where it was. He put it down and somebody had taken it.
Got it. More breaking Super Bowl news?
How many records do you think were broken?
God, I have no idea. Probably a bunch by Brady.
The total number of records broken were, where'd it go? 24 new Super Bowl records, and they tied 7 of them in the game today.
Which one? I know Brady broke the yardage record. He probably must have broken attempts and completions,
most
too.
Most games by a head coach, most games won by a head coach, most points in a game, 20 by James White.
Oh.
Because he also
got the extra point, right.
3 touchdowns and a 2-point conversion. So James White set a record. Most passes in a career for a Super Bowl, 309.
Jesus.
Passes in a game, 62 for Brady. Most completions career, 207 for Brady. Most completions in a game, 43. Most passing yards career, most passing yards game. Most touchdown passes career, most receptions in a game. James White, by the way, his longest reception was like where the ball was thrown. Was 8 yards. I mean, none of them are downfield.
Yeah.
Most games by a team, which is 9. Largest deficit overcome,
25 points. Wow.
Most points in an overtime, obviously, because it's the first overtime game. Most first downs in a game by a team, 37.
Jeez, 37.
Most first downs.
I wonder how many they had after 3 quarters.
That's a great question. Most first downs in a game by both teams, 54. First downs passing in a game by a team, New England, 26. First downs passing by both teams. Most offensive plays in a game by a team, 93.
Wow.
Most passes in a game by a team, New England. Most completions, most passing yards, obviously, most passing yards game. So, I mean, a lot of them are kind of repetitive.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they all seem to be Brady's records. And then I think the James White, though, the 20 points in a game is pretty unique.
Yeah, I'm amazed nobody's ever scored 4 touchdowns in the Super Bowl. That seems weird to me.
3's the record.
But there's only, 51 games, so I guess that's not abnormal. I want to wrap up by just reading a couple of emails I got. Scott sent me a really funny email, and I forgot about it a long time ago. He works out at a Lifetime Fitness in Shelby, and I guess Hackle used to work out there all the time.
Oh, boy, yeah.
And the funny part is... He said he didn't do a lot of working out. He'd be at the...
Mirror?
Well, yeah, I think the mirror was very popular with him, but also I think he would hang out by the treadmill and talk to chicks mostly.
Oh, really?
And this is a long time ago. I think it was before he was married anyway, but he just made it sound like Hackle had a pretty high opinion of himself. But the other funny thing about it was that he left his cop car running the whole time he was in there.
What?
Just to save time in case of an emergency.
Oh, come on, really?
I know. I thought that was so stupid.
It's pretty dumb.
But, and then he sent me something about, he heard us talking about bad live performances on one of his podcasts. He said his company books entertainment for, one night a year at a big convention they have.
Mm-hmm.
A couple years ago, we had Poison and Blondie, not as cool as some of the other meetings we had with Lenny Kravitz or Kid Rock. Anyway, I had to send you a note because Poison started a little late, and it pushed Blondie back, and I went by her setup, and she was bitching up a storm saying she was too old for this shit. Having gone after 11 o'clock. She was 69 at the time. Ha, ha, ha. And she, I guess she was paid quite a bit, so they thought that was a little silly, but that doesn't really matter to a Blondie. Anyway, I have to deal with the big game at my work as my company analyzes car ads and how much shopping activity they drive online, blah, blah, blah. All our press release and reports we put out are always called the big game. So annoying.
And, because they can't use Super Bowl?
Right. No, they can't. Though. Super Bowl. I know. It seems crazy to me. And then, God, there were a lot of. I got to play that Bill Maher thing tomorrow. I don't think we ever.
That's really good.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah, really funny. Did you see the latest teacher busted for having sex with two 17-year-olds?
Nice.
Check it out.
Oh, she's cute.
Jay?
Good for her. Jeez. I mean, it's illegal. But
and yeah. It was legal because they're 17 the state she lives in.
Yeah.
But she lost her teaching job. But what is she smoking hot? And she was nailing two
How old
of
is
her
she?
Students. 29.
And was she married?
Negative.
Beyonce, really?
Nope. I don't think so.
Yeah.
Name's Hailey, H-A-E-L-I, Way, W-A-Y.
Sounds like
Jay's going, there's another link I got to find.
Sounds like a fake name. Hailey Way.
If Jay's link, by the way, is a little, just a little thin tonight, give him a break because he's going to be late because our posts have to be the most complete posts I've
They're
ever
involved.
Seen for a podcast.
They're involved, yeah.
I mean, there's a tunnel. If you want to link to anything you heard on this, you're always going to find. If you come to our website, there's probably people that never go to our website and have no idea that Jay's got the link sitting right there.
Jay, what time do you have to get up tomorrow?
Let's see. I mean, today. About 5 hours.
What? Really?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
It's all right. Sick.
It's all right. We knew we were going to have a late night tonight. It's all right.
Colin tired. I can't work today. I'm too tired.
Well, they'd only make the day after Super Bowl a national holiday.
It really should be. Actually, honestly, because they have the week off in between, they'll never do this. But shouldn't they just put the Super Bowl on Saturday?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Or give everyone Monday off like Heinz has the day off for Monday.
I know.
The whole day.
They're never going to do that. So why not? Why not?
Saturday. Saturday. I know. Everyone says that. And well, and apparently Monday after Super Bowl is the biggest bad attendance day in the country for everybody.
Now, I know Sunday is a big advertising day. You know, but that's usually because people are home. People are going to watch the Super Bowl, wherever it is.
No, it's...
Put it on a Wednesday at 4 a.m. and people are going to watch it.
It's absolute madness. It's just a pain in the ass. It's just everyone suffers the day after. So with that, you know, I was going to read some more email. We should wrap up anyway so Jay can get his myriad.
Yeah.
But if it's a little thin, Jay, I think you should just do the... Just throw a few on there, the main ones, and get the hell out of Dodge.
Long with
knowing Jay, he won't do that.
We'll keep it simple.
And if you don't go to the website, you really should, because honest to God, those of you who go other places and don't go by the website and you look for your own links, you're wasting time.
Mm-hmm.
We like your web traffic anyway. So that's that. We'll see you tomorrow with hopefully something to talk about besides football. So have a good one, everybody. We'll see you.